Blog Talk Radio.
Firestorm Football Talk Show. I'm your host, Carson Mathis, where the theme of the show is to give raw, unedited, unscripted, objective analysis on major college and professional football. Sorry about the delay. A lot of traffic coming here to the studio. Let me introduce the panel. Let me start with you, Callie Mike. What's up? Somebody's phone's ringing. Can you please stop?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Got a big show coming up. Let's take a second.
All right, what's up, Tex? You there?
What's going on? What's going on?
All right. What's up, Shottown? You there?
Yeah, I'm there. What's going on, everybody?
Definitely. If you want to call in, please do so. 347-237-5539. We're going to get into the first topic of the show. Very college football season's over, but there's still headlines going on. Well, first thing we want to talk about is Manti Te'o. You know, he came out and said, you know, he was fooled from the beginning. I'm kind of hearing some shaky details about what exactly happened. He was fooled. Did he know about the hoax or what the case is? I just want to know, what's the panel's opinion on the whole situation? Let me start with you, Kelly. What you think?
Like I said, when it first started, you know, I was really shocked by, you know, everything that happened. I think now, though, that it's starting to become a little bit more clear, you know, I'll say this, if he would have came forward in the first place and just told the exact truth of everything that happened, you know, I think he could have shut things off, you know, but like just whenever you release bits and pieces of something that people clearly know is a lie, you know, then it's just going to keep snowballing. You know, if he would have just came out and said, look, I met this girl online, you know, I thought it was a real girl, we never really met, you know, but, you know, I'm kind of a shy dude or whatever, this and that, you know, and by the time I found out she was fake, it was so big, you know, I just, you know, I got caught up in the lie and just, you know, was hoping, you know, it would just go away. I could understand that, you know, but, you know, it's like you know, when you compound lies with lies, you know, it just snowballed, you know, and I think for him it snowballed out of control. You know, like I say, I gotta look at it, you know, this is a, you know, a 21-year-old kid, so, you know, I can't say that, you know, what all was going on through his mind. I mean, you think crazy stuff, you know, when you're a certain age, you know, who knows what kind of, you know, background he had, if he really has experience with girls or this and that, you know, but like I said, I think if he, you know, if they would just came forward to me and truthful, which I think Notre Dame had to do a lot with them not coming forth in the first place, no matter what they say, because, you know, they did say that they put it through with the, you know, Notre Dame had to, you know, check everything out to see if it would be an NCAA investigation over it first, make sure they didn't make any violation. Then when they found that out, then that's when the story, you know, they came forward with the story. So I think Notre Dame had a lot to do with it not coming out, too.
Okay. Tex, what's your take on this?
Well, I'm completely in agreement with Mike, especially at the tail end. To me, it sounds like Manti Te'o is a fall guy, and Notre Dame just kind of rode this. You know, you got to understand they haven't done anything in 25 years, so, you know, it just looks like an elaborate hoax to gather sympathy for Te'o, who you know, Notre Dame has when they have a success like this, they have to come along with a face. It just happened to be a Hawaiian face this time, but it just smells like he's a fall guy. Notre Dame helped cover it up. You know, Manti Te'o gets the sympathy, and Notre Dame gets the we're back. Wake up the echoes is what they like to sing. I mean, what echoes? Dead people don't echo. But it still doesn't smell right. Notre Dame, you know, it's like they have a hand in it. It's like, you know, like Godfather type stuff. Or you know what I'm saying? I mean, let's just be honest and call it what it is. And it was Notre Dame against the world, all right? And Manti Te'o was an upstanding senior. He was a good man. He lost his dang family. And let's ride this wave of momentum all the way. Let's barely beat Pitt at home. Let's get a nice little call against Stanford. Let's rally all of America to what we're trying to do here. Notre Dame, we're resurrected. You know, we got dead girlfriends, dead grannies. Everybody feels sorry for us. Let's go. And Manti Te'o was the best player on the team, and he's a face. So, you know, let's just ride that. But whatever. Just my opinion.
All right. Let's go with Shots out, man. What's your take on this?
Man, this story is just getting more and more, detailed. But now, you know, he admit that he lied on part of the whole show. But like what Mike was saying, I mean, he's still, you know, he's still a young man, you know, 21 years old, but just, I mean, now they say they got reports that, you know, calling records and stuff, he has the number, so, I mean, that kind of makes the story kind of like, it's one of those things, like everybody's saying, that we never talked about experience, like, you just don't know what to believe right now, but, I mean, they have records and everything, just, you know, hopefully soon this all the way is going to be ended and something have a, some type of resolution to all of this stuff. But I know,
well,
this is kind of, I know this is kind of not on the story what Mesa tell, but I saw a report that another Notre Dame player had a hoax as well. I didn't read all of it, but it was a player that they say had a hoax about the same thing too.
Well, I don't know. Well, I didn't hear about that. Well, I mean, you know, I think he may have been in it. You know, I mean, this is all strange. I mean, now they're saying that he was talking to other women while he was on campus, so that kind of eliminated the whole he's a gay person, gay rumor. So I just think, you know, he played along with it. He was in on the hoax. Not necessarily. I knew he got made a fool out of, but I think it came to a point where he realized he was being made a fool out of, and he just wanted to still keep the story alive. I mean, I don't think he really that woman was really the love of his life or something like that. Like he was hyping it up to be, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, I wish the guy well. You know, hopefully it can go past him. We'll see. We got two callers here, so let me see what one of the callers has to say here. Let me go with 407. 407-620. Was it Steve?
Hello?
Yeah, this is
Steve. What's up?
I just got to say, Miami is walking the dogs on Duke right now, if you're not watching this. But,
They are beating them up. I've been watching it, but I'm watching the Bulls now while I'm doing the show.
But, yeah, I just want to say, I mean, that whole thing, it just sounds fishy to me, man. Like, how could you be talking to a girl who you have never seen the chick? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. 3 years, never seen the chick. All you do is talk to a voice on the phone and get pictures. Man, there's people that get pictures to see the chick the next day. Come on, man. Stop playing with that, man. It don't sound right. You got to be as smart as he is at Notre Dame. Come on, now. Like, you have to look
at it. Well, I mean, I look at it, you know. It's kind of almost a sign of the times, though. I mean, you got to look at how powerful the internet has as an influence over this younger generation. I mean, you got folks killing, you know, you got teenagers killing themselves over what people say, you know, online about them and, you know, and this and that. And, you know, like I said, people fall, you know, cats fall in love online all the time. So, I mean, you know, I can't, you know, like I said, I think it's more a sign of the times, really. You know, and I think
Also, you got online dating, you know, these dating sites and stuff where, like Mike was saying last week about Vince Wilfork, that, you know, he met his wife online. So, I mean, something got too. Maybe the guy is shy, you know, because the woman, and he might have to, you know, call a, you know, chat line or do the dating site because, you know, maybe he's shy.
I mean,
He's a star player at Notre Dame.
You know, I mean, look.
It don't matter.
Look at how many rappers. You know, look how many rappers are meeting girls off of Twitter now. You know, you got famous dude, Lil Wayne. You know, look how many rappers got along with that hashtag chick off of meeting her off of Twitter. You know.
But check this out, though. They meeting the girls, though. That's the key word.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna ask the question: when I'm gonna see you? When I'm gonna meet you? Come on, now.
Sketchy. Hold on, let me put you on hold here, Steve. Man, I gotta get this other caller here. Let me get Matt up in here. What's good, Matt?
How's it going, fellas?
What's going on,
man? I didn't even get time to even touch the topic last night on the show. I'm happy you
Yeah, I was listening to you last night. Y'all know y'all was talking about the point spreads and for the Super Bowl. Now I was catching what you were talking about last night.
I try to find new and interesting things and people to bring on. I found Poppy Chulo to come on and talk about a little sports gambling. So I figure that's always fun talk. But I just believe the guy's name is Jeremy Sheff. He did the exclusive interview with Monte Teo off camera. And I just posted it on my Facebook. So if you want to go check out the report, before seeing the report, before reading it, and also actually seeing it, they did a piece on it on ESPN. I was completely befuddled, confused, and didn't know what the heck to think. It all sounded like a bunch of malarkey. I didn't know what was talking to who and how did what. There's all these Hawaiian Pacific names and stuff going. I didn't know what was going on. I thought at one point in time it was talking about half the Steelers defense and the other half people that were in Head and Shoulders commercials. I was getting kind of confused there. But after hearing this report and reading it, I'm actually going to buy in to the story, and I'm going to believe what K.L. was saying. Because this kind of put it in a timeline and put it in an order to where there was logic, understanding, and reasoning behind what happened. I think we can all look back to college, and there's probably maybe a couple of girls that we talked to, not met up with, but talked to on Facebook we may not have known too well, or a friend of a friend or somebody hit you up on there and you had some sort of a conversation with them. It just seems that this relationship was on again, off again, not of a mutual relationship, like they're dating exclusive for the 3 years. It was only up that last year where it actually got out of control. But it was essentially what I understand over a 3-year period. They're just playing jokes. It was a fake page that was made to mess around with people. And evidently, 3 other people fell for the hoax. I understood from the report. So I'm buying into it. I don't think K.L. understood what was going on, and he was duped.
I don't know. I mean, for 3 years, though?
But it was like I said, it's not a solid 3 years. It was one solid year of actually constantly talking, and that last year is where it got to the phone call. It was just random messages. Just like people that leave on the Mathis Raymond Facebook page, somebody commented on a picture on a cloud. Oh, that's funny. You know, you don't know. I don't know who people are a lot of times on the Facebook page, but they're still there. They're friends, and they comment on stuff, but it doesn't mean that, you know, they're real people. I don't know. I've never met them in my life. They could be fake people, too.
I mean, it happens a lot more than people want to admit. You know, scam artists, you know, I seen a thing on the first, on a 48-hour mystery one time. This cat sent his whole life savings to a chick who was supposed, you know, and it turned out it was a dude. He was ready to go marry her and this and that. And this was a guy who, you know, a self-made man, was, you know, very wealthy. And, you know, sometimes you kind of, you know, if you put yourself in a position to believe in a fantasy, you know, it can take over, I guess. And that's, you know, but I think it happens a lot more than people want to admit. You know, I mean, scams and profit schemes have been going on, you know, for hundreds of years. Now it's just a different level of it now.
Yeah.
So I guess the consensus is you think it's a believable story, except for maybe Tex. I don't think Tex believes it, but
Well, I mean, like I said, I believe to a certain point, you know, like he didn't know what was going on, but then after that, I think it was Notre Dame, you know, trying to do a normal cover of stuff because, you know, like I said, it got too big. Once you started involving the family to have an interview saying that they seen the girl, and then, like I say, now you had another guy who plays for Cardinals who said he saw the girl, and, you know, and there is no girl, so we all know that they're lying. I mean, after a point you had, you know, you had cover up going on. But I think Manny, you know, like I said, I think it is a fall guy situation. They're trying to play, you know, because I mean, they came out and said that they kept it quiet while they were doing an investigation to find out if they committed an NCAA infraction. So, you know, I mean, like I said, there was, you know, they knew something was amiss, you know.
Okay.
I don't buy it because, you know, if you ever sit back and you hear somebody talk about the Notre Dame program, its perception, and a program like University of Miami and its perception, Miami would be guilty of every single crime in the law book. And you're sitting here telling me that Notre Dame can't godfather this stuff up, man? Come on. Of course they can. They haven't done anything in 25 years, man. It's nice. Come on and be relevant. Like I said, we got dead grannies, we got dead imaginary girlfriends. Come on. Root for it.
Alright, hey, I got one more caller here. Hold on, let me put you on hold here, Matt. I gotta get this call here. Let me get DT here. 407. You there?
Yeah.
DT.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what's good?
Yeah, I just tuned in, man, so I guess you're talking about Manti Te'o. Yeah, I mean, after this week, I guess, it seems like all the information's kind of out. And so I kind of agree with Mike, man. It's just kind of, it's a sign of the times. At first, it just seemed all too weird. But when you think about it, it is kind of a sign of the times where people don't, I've seen a poll that people actually prefer to meet other people on the internet now. So, you know, and that's just the truth. So, you know, even if you're a big star football player, wherever you are, you still want to meet somebody online. Now, this is a little different. I mean, they actually got a term for it now. If you guys seen that movie and the show, they got a TV show called Catfish. It's called Catfish. You know, when somebody's messing around on the other side and basically they're lying about themselves, they look totally different. I mean, previously it was just kind of maybe somebody would give a picture of themselves and they don't really look like that anymore. They gave a picture of what they looked like 5 years ago. And so now they're a lot, you know, bigger, fatter, uglier. But this is what they used to look like. Nowadays, though, people are completely different, apparently. Nowadays, you got people putting a totally different picture up, and they happen to be a guy. And so people are just getting tricked. And I'll say, okay, maybe he got tricked. And but, yes, eventually it was some type of cover-up, eventually. But at first, maybe he did get tricked. Okay, so I'll give that to him. That's fine. But it just seems kind of silly, though. I mean, 3 years or whatever it is, you never met him, you know, met the girl, and he's in interviews talking about how he's the, you know, best person he ever met or whatever. It's like, all right, buddy, well.
Yeah.
And hold on, and to your internet thing, hold up. Usually, I'll give an example because I know a lot of people do this. When I was single, I did this. You know, you look on Facebook, you say, man, she looks pretty good. Now, you'll send her, you see the person. You don't like, I mean, you'll send them a message, and then they'll be in your town, or you'll try to link up with them. You know, you're not going to, like, just prolong or something for 2-3 years. You know.
We're starting to get old, man. Like, they don't do that no more. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That
exactly.
Online.
New now, man.
Like we used IM.
Yeah.
That's what we used. I was
instant
listening to the guy talk about Facebook. I'm like, we didn't have Facebook in college, man.
Or Black Planet or College Club,
yeah,
College Club, whatever those.
Club, yeah.
Exactly.
No.
So, I mean, it's a new generation, man. These kids, I mean, they live online, literally. You know, it's like, I mean. It's, you know, and I mean, if you get caught up in it, I mean, like I say, you got to look. It's just, you know, he's a 21-year-old dude, you know. I mean, stuff happens. I mean, I got to, you know, like I said, I can't, you know, I've seen people do worse stuff. I'll say that. And, you know, and like I say, hopefully this doesn't affect the rest of his life. Because like I said, people have done much worse, you know.
All right. But, all right, let's. I want to tailor the discussion here. Let me put you. I got to put you on hold here, DT. Now, the Senior Bowl is coming up, and Chip Kelly, he's the new coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, as we all know. He says he's eyeing a few quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. You know, they have him taking a picture with EJ Manuel or whatnot. So, what player do you think that's not really on the radar right now that you think could make a nice impact in the pro? If you can think of the best player you can think of that nobody's eyeing right now, you think can come in and transition well into the NFL? Let me start with you, Tex.
Well, there's a defensive tackle from Missouri State. I can't remember his name, but he's been all the top tackles at the Senior Bowl. He's been lighting them up. They say he's been a force against the run. He's been a force against the. He's been a force with the pass rush. So he's a guy that could get up there. Another guy is the Central Michigan tackle, Eric Fisher. Spoke with somebody earlier, and he was like, you know what? Peg Eric Fisher in as top 15 pick. He's been the best player at the Senior Bowl by far. So that's another unknown that could jump up in there and probably make an impact. Where it is, he's the most everybody's gushing about him. Supposedly, he's the most NFL-ready lineman that's there at the Senior Bowl. And as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, nobody has really stood out. You hear folks talk about there's upside with the guys that's there. But, it's all about the team and recognizing value. See what I'm saying with these QBs? So, you know. But it's hit and miss. Nothing is final. Senior Bowl isn't final. The Combine isn't final. So you got a little bit of ways to go. Nobody knows anything. I mean, you got 15 picks. Out of the 15 first picks, it's about, you got different opinions. About 23 players are going in the top 15. See what I'm saying? So, it's a lot to be done right now.
All right. Well, I'm going with my guy, EJ Manuel. I think he can come in. I think he could be a potential starting quarterback in the league, in the NFL. I mean, he's 6'5", 240. He had a 68% completion percentage, 23 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, 156 quarterback rating. So I think that guy can come in. He could be a good game manager. I mean, hell, if Christian Ponder was a first rounder, I mean, come on. I mean, this guy should be better than Christian Ponder. He was better than Christian Ponder when he was at Florida State. So, I mean, I think he can come in. I think he can be a very good – I mean, I think he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's just my personal opinion. That's my poor choice right there. Let me go with you, Callie Mike.
In terms of the QBs, I've heard that nobody's really, there hasn't really been that much separation. EJ Manuel, he's an interesting guy, just because of the physical aspect of him. He has a big arm, he's a little bit of mobility. I think Landry Jones, I think people are going to look at him too. He's another underachieving guy, had a potential, people say he had first round potential. A quarterback can go to the Senior Bowl. I look at Nick Lawrence out of Baylor. He put up big numbers this year, and he showed he has an arm. I mean, he was right there doing it out with Geno Smith, and they got a much better roster. So I guess I think he's a scrappy kind of guy. If he gets on the team, he could possibly get a chance to do something. I don't see any of those quarterbacks, that are senior. Geno Smith's not even in the Senior Bowl, so I don't know. I think it's gonna come up with quarterbacks. It's gonna come to individual workouts. I think really you're gonna come back to the same two. You're gonna come back to Geno Smith and Matt Barkley, when all is said and done. And a lot of these guys. They're gonna you see names popping off. Everybody's Tyler Wilson, Tyler Bray, you know, and even you know, and this that Ryan that fit out of Syracuse. But you know, I mean, you know, you guys, you know, after a while, you got to step up, you know. And I, like I said, I think you know you're gonna see Geno Smith and Matt Barkley be on the top of the QB list by you know by the time the draft comes around.
Tell you what I saw though, I saw I don't know how true this is, but I don't know if they were being sarcastic or whatever, but it was talk about the Chiefs taking Tyler Wilson number one overall, but you know I don't know how, like I said, I don't know how true that was. But,
Tyler Wilson.
Yeah, Tyler.
I mean, I like Tyler Wilson. I think he can be a good player. I like Tyler Wilson.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is nobody really knows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's in the background everywhere.
One thing for sure is that teams don't want to spend the top pick on an old tackle. I know that. They want to spend it on an old tackle. And another thing there's a possibility of is the Lions. You know, taking the Fisher guy I told you about, the fifth overall, but, you know, nothing is there right now.
Yeah, they were talking about, like, the Chiefs. They were talking about, like, the Chiefs taking, you know, that boy, Reckless, that tackle offensive lineman from Texas A&M. They were talking about him.
The possibility of being it's possible, you know, me and Texas, about, you know, Javaris Jones. He's been dropping on a lot of people's, you know, a lot of draft lists, you know, because he has that spinal stenosis, you know, I told Tex about earlier, you know, that's why he got disqualified at USC, you know, why he transferred back to University of Georgia. And I don't know the whole specifics of that disease, but isn't that what Mike Irvin ended up with, Tex?
I'm not sure.
I think it was either Irvin or Sterling Sharp. One of them had that, and that's what it might have been both of them. But you know, like I said, I think that's taken out a couple of people's careers in the you know, in the NFL. You know, maybe it's different. You know, maybe it's different for a linebacker, but you know, as opposed to somebody doing the hits is getting hit. But you know, I don't know if that's something you know you take a chance on.
They were talking about that. I remember where you saw Chris Samuels at. Isaiah's boy from Alabama, he had that. He was diagnosed with that. He played for about, you know, 10 years, and you know he went to be a top. You know, he was a top pick. I mean, he was I think top five, top 10 pick. That's the last player I know that went high that had that, you know, condition. So I didn't know that.
Was he diagnosed with it coming out though, or was it found out later?
I think he was kind of. Around the time when he was coming out.
No, it came out later. He got injured. Some injury ended his career. You're talking about Chris Samuels from Alabama, right?
Yeah, but already he was playing with that. He had that condition, though.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he had some sort of spinal injury that ended his career. But I guess
he already had it, you know, was diagnosed with having that condition, they were saying. I remember they were saying, you know, he played along with it for like 10 years. He had a 10-year career, so.
I mean, that can do nothing but hurt his draft status right there. So, let's see what's.
And Mike, when did that come out? I didn't hear about that.
Well, I mean, like I say, it's you know that's why he got disqualified. You know why they wouldn't let him play when he was at USC and he first transferred back to Georgia. So I figured it was going to come up. And, you know, Tex mentioned this earlier today. So,
I didn't know he played at USC. Wow.
He played his whole freshman year there, and he got injured, and they found out that he had that, and they wouldn't clear him. I guess maybe because at private school they got different restrictions, you know, as opposed to public schools or whatever, cause maybe it's because of liability or something like that.
All right. Let's see what this caller has to say here. Let's put I know your name, Steve, back on. Steve.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Yeah, I don't know about anybody that really stands out, probably as far as a quarterback, but I kind of like Mike Glennon. He's got a strong arm, and I think he's a pure pocket passer, but he has no mobility. But at the same time, I just think he can fit into a system probably go as a quarterback. I probably the most longevity. DJ Emmanuel, I heard you say him, but he's been very inconsistent. When I thought he was going to do something, he didn't do something. So I don't know about
you. Mean like we say inconsistent? Like, do you mean like inconsistent in the sense of he doesn't make the play? Because his statistics are not that bad.
But his decision making is not where it should be as a senior quarterback.
All right, I see what you're saying. He's not going to make the big play. That's the thing. He's not. I mean, the Clemson game, he showed it that he can hang with the big boys in terms of throwing the ball. But he's more of like a game manager type of guy. So
let's look at it like this, Clausell. When he first came out of high school, he was the number one quarterback.
Everybody
expected him to take over the position over who was that you just said in Minnesota? What's the cat's name?
Christian Ponder.
Yeah, he couldn't even beat out Ponder. Then he came out last year. He was supposed to have his breakout season last year. It didn't happen. They started off fast this season. Remember, Cass was talking about him being a first-round pick and maybe, you know, in the first three games. And look what happened. You know, he's like I said, he's an inconsistent guy. He's an underachiever. I mean, he's a guy who could break out, but, you know,
when someone says inconsistent, I'm thinking of like a low completion percentage. You mean he's just not the guy that's going to make the big play?
Okay, maybe people would say erratic. Maybe erratic would be better.
Erratic. Okay. All right. He's not turnover prone. So with that right there, I think he's not going to be a late round pick. He's going to be a third round pick at the latest, in my personal opinion, or a second. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes second round because he looks the part. He doesn't turn the ball over. He has a good completion percentage. I mean, somebody's going to draft him. I wouldn't be surprised if he got drafted second round. What'd you say?
How many quarterbacks like that do we see come out of? I mean, like, what's the difference between him and Landry Jones?
I need to look at Landry Jones' statistics. I think Landry Jones throws more interceptions than he does, though. And he probably has a better completion percentage.
I mean, quarterback type is the same. You know, it's the same type. I mean, people, like I say, I think a lot of times with quarterbacks, you have to look a lot at these intangibles because it does end up mattering. You know, people look at the physical attributes, and that's how we got, you know, Jamarcus Russell. You know, I used to get caught up in it. I remember when Andre Woodson, when he came out of Kentucky, you know, big cat, threw for a whole bunch of yards, SEC guy, and look what he did in the league, squat. You know,
nothing.
You can't. You know, you got. Sometimes you got to look at these guys' intangibles, and that's, you know.
But
I don't think, Mike.
I don't think his intangibles are that bad because I think his intangibles are better than the Christian Bonder's intangibles, and he looks the part and he plays the part. But he played better than
Christian
Ponder.
He couldn't even beat out Ponder. That's the point, though.
He never got the opportunity. He was 2 years behind Ponder. He never got the opportunity to beat out Christian Ponder. Christian Ponder was the man there. He was there. They weren't going to let him go. He had a better career.
He redshirted his first year there, so I mean he's been at FSU for five years now.
What I'm saying is he looks the part. He played. In my opinion, he had a better career than Christian Ponder did at Florida State. He looks the part better than Christian Ponder, and Christian Ponder was a top 15 pick, and this guy is not even considered. I mean, Florida State's team. Okay.
Hey, Clausell.
I'm listening.
The only reason Christian Ponder got the highest draft pick that he got is because of that Senior Bowl. When he balled out in that Senior Bowl, that's what's like, oh, we can take this guy. He's smart, though. The guy's smart. Any NFL player, any NFL coach or scout looks for somebody that's smart. The guy is smart. So is EJ Emmanuel. He can push the ball down the field. But he's kind of iffy. He's iffy. I mean, he's got athleticism. He can escape. He can do all that. But, I mean, his weaknesses outweigh his potential. That's what I said.
Okay. I see what you're saying. You're saying that the scouts probably saw Christian Ponder having a higher football IQ than the average quarterback. So that's probably why he was drafted that high. I'm just saying based on what I've seen on the field in terms of completion percentage, in terms of touchdown interception ratio, in terms of intangible, when I compare him to Christian Ponder's career, I think he had a better career than Christian Ponder did. But I mean, I don't know his football IQ. I really don't know. I'm not in the locker room with him. I'm not a scout. But I'm just thinking, I think this guy is going to be can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm not saying he can be a Peyton Manning, obviously not, but I'm thinking you're talking about a guy that's going to manage the ball and not going to turn the ball over. I'll draft him. I'll give him an opportunity. If you give Terrell Pryor an opportunity, I'll give him an opportunity. I'm just saying. So that's how I look at it. But anyway, I got one little comment before I get to the callers here.
Room for quarterbacks, it might be like a couple of teams that might go that route, but I don't really see that many quarterbacks going early in the first few rounds. I wouldn't take no quarterback in the first few rounds of this.
Nothing is set in stone, but I'm telling you, it's all about the teams and where they find value. I think you're going to see plenty of quarterbacks go off that board the first three rounds.
Yeah, I think EJ Manuel will be one of them. I think he will go in this. I predict he's going to go late second round. I really predict that. That's just me.
Okay, where could you see him going to? What team?
I don't know
what
team
round would waste the draft pick on him.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville. Tampa could get him. Challenge Josh Freeman. There's a lot of teams that could get him.
But this is what I'm saying though. Could you get him in the fifth, or could you wait till the fourth or fifth round and get him? Really?
No, I think he will be taken by the end of the. You cannot get him by the fourth round. He will be taken by the second, late to second, or mid-third round. I believe he will because he looks the part and his stats are pretty good. He didn't elevate them to like a national championship contender. But in terms of he has good statistics. He looks the part. So you're going to have to look at him.
But also, you got to look at free agency. It's a lot of quarterbacks that's going to be free agents and, of course, quarterback names that's been mentioned in trades and stuff, so really that could change a lot too. I mean, projecting now, but when by that time free agency gonna be over with, so that could definitely change. Like you said, Jacksonville. I mean, it's a possibility. You never know. Jacksonville might get a veteran quarterback. Let's say they get Alex Smith or somebody. But will Jacksonville draft another quarterback? And you already got invested a first round pick in Blaine Gabbert.
Gabbert's done. He's done. Hold on. I got to put you on hold here.
We'll see. I wouldn't say that just yet.
I got to put you on hold here, Steve. Let me put DT on here. DT, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, I'm a Florida State fan, so. But I watch EJ every single game. I think the case for EJ being good in the league, being a starting quarterback, is pretty good. I mean, EJ, listen. I think you guys have to remember that Christian Ponder going that early was a surprise. Like, nobody thought he was going to go that early. He apparently proved himself to the NFL scouts, and he went that early. And he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think, and I don't want to talk bad about any coaches here, but I think that Jimbo being a head coach and offensive coordinator hurt. And when you watch Jimbo, when you watch the play calls that he makes, he doesn't go down the field. People say, oh, EJ doesn't make the plays. Jimbo, his whole play-calling scheme doesn't really go down the field. He doesn't stretch the field. EJ has an arm to go down the field. And if he did that with the talent that Florida State had, a lot of those games would have been a lot easier. They never would have lost to NC State. I believe they would have beat Florida, even though Florida had a great defense. But EJ, he's 6'5", he's 240 pounds, he can run. He can throw. I mean, I think he's an accurate passer. I think he has true skills that makes him, intangible-wise, skill-wise, he is better than Ponder that way. And when Ponder was there, it was just the fact that Ponder was 2 years older than him. EJ had to wait his turn. And sometimes that's how coaches are. Coaches go with the guy they trust.
And I got a question for you, DT. When you finish, I got a question for you. The question is, when you saw Christian Ponder play at Florida State, you saw EJ Manuel play at Florida State, didn't you think EJ Manuel was better than Christian Ponder?
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go ahead and say that. What I'll say is I thought that EJ had the potential to be better than Christian Ponder. To me, if you want to go with their senior year, I'm going to say it's pretty even. I mean, Ponder is a heady quarterback that can do some things. EJ is a freak athlete, to be honest with you. but I just don't think Jimbo used him as a freak athlete that he should have used him. So, other than that, though, I think, you know, if we're talking about,
well, I mean, can we really look at that? Can we really look at that based on Jimbo, or can we look at that based on maybe EJ limitation? I mean,
I really think it's based on Jimbo. I really think the system sometimes dictates what a quarterback can and can't do. And I think that Jimbo tried to put some little things in there for EJ, but I don't think he should have stretched the field a little more with EJ. EJ has a bigger arm than Ponder. That's one thing you can see right off the bat. EJ can throw that ball and fling it downfield. Christian's arm is limited. I think Christian might be a little smarter. His ball may be a little more accurate. But EJ throws a deep ball like nobody else. So,
look at what Jimbo did with the last 6'5 dude who threw a deep ball when he was in LSU, Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, and I would say to you that Jimbo at that point in time was just the offensive coordinator. That was his job. This at Florida State, he's the head coach and the offensive coordinator, and sometimes your job, it's a little harder to do. You don't have time to do everything, and I think it's affecting his call playing. I really do. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
I just think people, I mean, as an FSU fan, weren't you waiting 2 or 3 years for EJ Manuel to get to that next level and he never got there?
I'm sorry, say it again?
You mean the Heisman level? Yeah, I mean, he never got to that Heisman level. I mean, he never got to the Heisman level, but he wasn't a scrub.
Was he ever an elite quarterback in college football?
No, he was not an elite quarterback in it.
I mean, guys, neither did Ponder. They tried to sell Ponder his senior year as a Heisman candidate at the beginning, and then he never got to that status. Again, I'm going to not blame these quarterbacks because I've seen two of them. And I'm going to put a little blame on Jimbo. I don't think his system is help those two guys to become Heisman candidates. I think they should have been, but for some reason they weren't. And I think it's a little bit blame on him.
So you think Jimbo Fisher should leave being the play caller and bringing another offensive coordinator or something?
I do think that, yes.
Who's the offensive coordinator right now?
Jimbo.
Oh, I thought it was Damian Craig. I thought it was Damian Craig from Auburn. I thought it was Damian Craig.
Jimbo calls the offense at Florida State.
Okay. But who's,
and he needs to give that job up.
Well, I mean.
But apart from that, let me, you know, the other people under the radar, I'll stay with Florida State. I think Bjorn Werner is a great player. I think that guy can straight up play. I think he's a little under the radar. That's just my take, but I think he's a dang good player that could be a stud in the league. And then, apart from that, somebody who is in the league already. And, you know, again, I'm a Florida State fan. I don't really care for this dude, but I'm watching Kaepernick. I'm watching all these guys run kind of a spread offense, running around. And I'm like, who is almost the greatest player to do this in college football? And I call him T-Hope, but he's from Tebow. And I think, you know, Chip Kelly could pick up Tebow and run some type of spread. And Tebow, I really believe that. I really believe that.
Hey, I'm the only supporter. I'm the only supporter of Tim Tebow on the show. So,
here's my point. When Denver last year, what was Denver's record before Tebow started?
I know the line. 1-4 with Kyle Orton, and then Tebow went 7-4 or something like that.
They went
to the playoffs. They won the division. Took them to the playoffs.
All the stats in the world, and he second round of playoffs, but he didn't win a playoff game.
But come on, man, they were better. Denver was better than they were last year. You got to admit that. As a team, they were better.
They didn't win a playoff game.
All right, keep going.
Question and miss away was called Denver. I mean, Peyton Manning had a great game. I'm better than that interception, but still, it shouldn't even came down to like that.
Hey, Jeff George was a great quarterback, but he couldn't win.
Jeff George was a great quarterback?
talent wise, yeah, but he couldn't win games.
Oh, yeah, talent wise. I'll give you talent wise.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah,
talent wise.
Whatever I pick, yeah.
Are we saying that? I think Tebow is a winner. He won all his life. I think the guy deserves a shot, and I wouldn't be fighting for him if I didn't think that was true.
My thing is this: he has to be in a situation where they're going to want him to be there. Like, you know, I mean,
yep.
Jacksonville. I don't think Jacksonville wants him to be there. So you
yeah,
know, it has
yeah,
to be
yeah,
some
yeah.
sort of team that's going to want him to be there. I mean, most of the teams in the league obviously don't want him to be there. I can't think of a team that wants him to be there. I mean, even if they come in as a backup.
And that's
why
your original question was about Chip Kelly, and I think Chip Kelly can bring somebody like that in. I think Chip Kelly knows Urban Meyer real well, probably talked to him about the kid. I think Tebow can show up there and run that offense a little bit.
I mean, maybe.
DP,
I mean, he.
But, DP, they already got a quarterback that can do it. What do you think about Michael Vick, DP?
I think that you better start preparing for the future. That's all. With Michael Vick.
No,
yeah,
I think
Michael Vick right now, but.
No, I think Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is the future there. I think Nick Foles can be a quarterback in the league.
I think that if you have an NFL roster with Mike Vick and Tim Tebow on it, somebody's getting fired.
Well, we said last week that Chip Kelly ain't going to last that long no way, so he might as well try it.
Well, go out with a bang, huh?
All right, hey. Hey, let me.
Hey, DJ, I got one more question.
Hold up.
You think Michael Vick can run Chip Kelly's type of offense?
Yeah, but I also think Michael Vick is on his last leg, literally.
Yeah.
They got Nick Foles. Nick Foles is the quarterback there. I think he's shown enough to be the starting quarterback next year. I don't know. I saw him play in Tampa. I went to the game when they came down here in Tampa, and he looked pretty good to me. So I'm just saying that I think maybe to
compete, but not to say yeah he's a starting quarterback. I think
let's say
Michael Vick's not the guy that let him go. I think they need to be looking. Probably for a veteran quarterback. Of course, they're gonna probably draft a quarterback, but you know.
Hmm. Well, what you gotta say, Tex? You had to say something to my comment about Nick Foles. What?
Yeah, I don't think he wasn't horrible, but I think the Buccaneers secondary was just horrible.
I'm just saying, for a rookie to come in there and do that, I mean, I just think he's shown to me that you know he could be a successful starting quarterback. In the league, given and he has the talent to groom one of them, so I think Chip Kelly got his quarterback.
The only Nick Foles I know or I'm thinking of was Judge of the Sing Off. He's a music artist, according to the music artist.
All right, I gotta put you on hold real quick. Let me put you on hold here. Hold up, Matt, you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all being serious right now? Are we really talking about EJ Manuel?
I know, dude. I don't know why we are. This is Brazil.
No, we were talking about what player could be what player coming into the league is kind of an under the radar player that nobody's talking about that could be a good NFL player.
I don't know. There's quite a few quarterbacks that are coming out, and pretty much all of them but the ones that were in Heisman races are under the radar. I think Colby Cameron is probably one of the ones that, talent-wise, he was on one of the top-scoring offenses, but again, I don't know, he's really good fundamentally sound. He's 6'1", 205, so I have to put on a little weight and, you know, work more with pro style offenses, but he was good at Louisiana Tech. I mean, he put up good numbers there. There's a lot of under the radar guys. I mean, evidently Jordan Rogers, he's out this year, so he has the last name Rogers. I'm willing to sit back and see what he can do. He looked okay this season. Didn't think he was anything miraculous, but then again, no one really was talking about Aaron Rodgers for Heisman either. Landry Jones, I don't know. He's another Sam Bradford. I mean, what is there to talk about with him? The quarterback pool this year is mediocre at best. But we have to wait till they play NFL games to be able to tell what they're going to amount to. But right now, I wouldn't be sold on any of these guys right now, to be honest with you.
I think there's upside in this class. I think the team has the spot value. That's all you got to do is spot value with these quarterbacks and coach them.
But that's the thing is, you know, I think Oliver Hoyt made a big good point last night on the show that when you get to the NFL, it's not to a point where you're learning anything. It's really to the point you've got men that are the best of the best, and they know what the hell they're doing. So there's really nothing new that you're learning. You know, there's not really as much more development in the NFL. You're there with the tangible skills to produce now. The quarterback position is really the only position you really see people coming in and maturing in. But you really don't see many people get into the starting quarterback role and be even moderately successful.
That's true.
You know, I think the only worst thing about this draft is the cornerback lot. The cornerbacks suck in this draft.
Except for one.
Isaiah's boy, you talking about?
Hey,
well, you know, let me. I want to throw something into while we're talking about quarterbacks. There was two quarterbacks who I was kind of disappointed that didn't enter into this draft. I would have liked to have seen what Taj Boyd could do, you know, coming out this year, and also Derek Carr out of Fresno State, Derek Carr's little brother. I think he has a chance to be a top 20 pick next year, and I think he has a real big arm. He's a good-sized kid. He's very accurate. It's going to be interesting to see what he does next year. But I thought both of them would have came out this year too.
I think you made a great point. I think if Taj Boyd would have came out here, he has good size. He's mobile enough to get away from people, and he has a huge arm.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has those tangible, more NFL tangibles that they're looking for than anybody in this class.
Mm-hmm.
No.
He fits that new mold.
Yeah, he had a good season this year too. I would have been more willing to take a wire on him than Geno Smith, tell you the truth.
Oh yeah.
All right.
You all still think Geno Smith might could go number one? I mean, this is right now, later.
It's a possibility. I mean, you know, he withheld himself from the Senior Bowl. I don't know exactly why, if there was an injury maybe he didn't tell anybody about, but you know, I mean, you gotta, you know, like I say, I think you're gonna come out with two quarterbacks, you know, either him or Matt Barkley, you know, by the time it comes on the combine. So, I mean, by the time
they probably would take Geno Smith only because the success of the spread offense right now, because you know it's a copycat league. So, I mean, I don't see Geno Smith being Russell Wilson or RG3. I see him more being like the pocket passer. I didn't even notice him. Is he a mobile guy? I don't even see him run that much. So
he's not really. Not, you know, I mean, like I said, they say he has the possibility of it, but you know, he's not, you know, he's a pretty good size, but I mean he's not a freak, you know, let's say that. He's not gonna wow you, you know, just, you know, get out there and run a 4-3, you know, RG3 style, I don't think. I think
he's what they want Josh Freeman to be.
That could be a pretty good comparison.
Him and Josh. Josh Freeman is kind of a big guy. Geno looks kind of a little guy. Josh Freeman looks like he's 220, 230, whereas Geno Smith looks like he's like 210 soaking wet. I don't know, but it's whatever.
Hold on, let me see here. I'll look it up. It says Geno Smith goes 220.
He's kind of big.
6'3", 220.
Geno Smith is, you think he's big?
Yeah, I mean,
you know. Well, you better take 10 pounds off of that 220. But anyway, man. I don't know. Whatever. But hold up. Let's change the subject here. I'm going to keep you on, and then we're going to get to the other callers. Let's talk about the Oakland Raiders, Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, and I think some other players. I think they talked about they said that Bill Callahan sort of changed the game plan when they had played the Buccaneers in 10 years ago in the Super Bowl. And they said that could have contributed to them losing. But that's based on the fact that their center, I think his name was Barrett Robbins, went psycho or something like that and didn't make the game. So I just want to know, what's your take on that?
Bipolar disorder he had.
Bipolar, yeah, whatever it is. But, yeah, I don't know, what's your take on that whole situation? Let me start with you, Tex. I want to know what's your opinion on what they had to say. Do you think it was in balance for them to say that?
No, I think Tim Brown is just bitter. Jerry went along with him. I mean, you know, the same thing the Bucks were doing to everybody else, they basically did to Oakland. All right? So, I mean, did everybody else think too? Did Philadelphia, San Francisco, I mean, anybody else that they ripped up like that on defense, did they tank? Did they change the game plan on Friday? I mean, it's like, you know, the anonymous Raiders player said Bill wanted to kick Gruden's ass, you know, and why wouldn't he? It's the Super Bowl.
All right.
Exactly. Man, that's a game you're going to remember for the rest of your life, man, you know. The loser has to, of course, deal with that every now and then, especially this time of the year, thinking about that chance of going to the Super Bowl, you know. Everybody was saying that he might have tanked it because, you know, John Gruden was able to get back on the Raiders so he can kick the Raiders' ass since, you know, Al Davis, you know, traded him to Tampa and all that type of stuff. But, you know, it was, you know, I can't buy that, you know. But I know they were saying that the game plan changed because of Barrett Robbins. They had to change it up since he wasn't going to play. That's what Zach Crockett had said.
Hmm. All right.
They just got beat. I mean, like, I agree with Jamal. He said, I mean, Tim Brown probably just bitter. I mean, because you don't have a Super Bowl ring and all this time. And I guess Callahan now he's going to be the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys, which, you know, people have been questioning, saying, why does Jerry just fire, you know, Garrett? And all this stuff came out. If Callahan's name wouldn't been mentioned to be an offensive coordinator or anything like that, or this and that, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation right now about that.
All right, Callie, Mike, what's your take on this?
I mean, it just, I hate to say it, but it just sounds like they're being a little bit bitter. I mean, you have two conflicting stories. Now you have a story of people, you know, them saying that Bill Callahan, you know, that he changed the game plan and this and that. But if you remember right after the Super Bowl, you have a story that the Bucs knew basically what the Raiders were running because they didn't change the offense from when they were on the roof. And that, you know, you heard, you know, Eric Brooks calling out the plays and they knew exactly. And I mean, to me, that's exactly what it looked like. You know, like I said, it looked like if Callahan did change anything, he didn't change it enough because the Bucs were in their playbook, you know, and they knew exactly what was going. And they stopped him every time, you know, basically they stopped him every turn. And, you know, to me, that's what it looked like it was. You know, like I said, it looked like, if anything, he didn't change it enough. If he tried to change anything, because they were in their playbook, you know. Like I say, you know, you had John Lynch and, you know, Derek Brooks calling out the Raiders players, you know, almost before the Raiders even knew what they were running themselves. So, you know, if anything, they didn't change it enough. Because, you know, I mean, you got to remember, you got the unique situation of a head coach coaching his previous team, you know, this, you know, basically with, you know, like I said, basically you had a guy coaching his own team in the Super Bowl, you know, running the same offense, you know. So, I mean, it was a crazy position for the Raiders to be in anyway. And, you know, I think it just, you know, it backfired on him that year. And, you know, Tim Brown, you know, he's never had a Super Bowl. You know, maybe Jerry was kind of back his play or whatever. You know, like I said, I mean, you know, old guys, they get bitter, they say stuff, they hold grudges. Maybe they had a grudge with, you know, with Callahan. I mean, Callahan was not liking Oakland. So, you know, I mean, it, you know, you never know.
All right. Who is liked in Oakland, though? Who is liked? I mean, I don't like none of them coaches except for maybe John Madden. That's it.
I mean,
but anyway.
Certain people, you know, Art Shell, he was liked. I mean, he, you know, he just got fired. I mean, certain coaches was liked. You know, they just got fired. Or, you know, I mean, Gruden, you know, that they liked Gruden. You know, I mean, Gruden was liked. He just, you know, he got, you know, I mean, if Al Davis don't want you there, you're not going to be there. You know, if he got, you know, I mean, you know, Al Davis and, you know, and Art Shell was close friends. You know, but he had something else, you know, he had in mind. So, you know, Art had to go. You know.
And I was a writer, too, so of course he's going to be liked. He's one of your great writers.
Yeah. All right. Matt, what's your take on this, Matt?
I think the one thing undeniably across the board that regardless if they came to his defense or not, I think it was pretty much said across the board, he hated a lot of the players. He didn't like them. He didn't like who they were. He didn't like where they were. But I know with Rich Gannon, I know Frank Middleton, the offensive lineman, they came in and they said, I don't feel that he's changed the game plan more than any normal, and they don't think he's through the game. But I think it's kind of outstanding that, you know, 10 years later they would even bring this up when, kind of like you said before, and I even heard Derek Brooks talk about it. It was about a month ago on the radio. I was on WDAE 1040, the sports animal. He was talking about it. He's like, we knew exactly what they were doing on every play. We knew their audible, so when he would check down and he would audible, we knew exactly where they were going. So they already had intimate knowledge of the team and what the defense was going to, or what the offense was going to run and what it was going to do, because that's what Bill was doing when John was there. So
yep.
he knew their friends. And he knew what was going on, and he knew Bill's habits, and he coached the defense and ran the Raiders offense in practice and did the checkdowns and showed exactly what they would do at each stage of the game. And that game plan and the knowledge Gruden had won him a Super Bowl. Now, shame on Bill Callahan for not being prepared right. Shame on him for having a team that was hyped so highly going into that game that it sounded like the poor Tampa Bay team doesn't have a chance. Because all I remember is hearing all week long with the lead up to the game, because that's back when there was only a week layoff. It wasn't 2 weeks. It was only a week layoff. The whole week up to the Super Bowl, it was talking about the efficiency of Gannon, what kind of record paces he was on, how Tyrone Wheatley was a beast, how the running game could just pound their lights out, how finding Rice and Tim Brown, it was just there was no way to stop the Raiders offense unless you were in the huddle. And that's what John Gruden did. He bring the huddle.
Pretty much.
So it was a wonderful game plan. My hat's off to John Gruden for, one, remembering what's going on, two, preparing his team, and shame on Bill Callahan for being so spiteful to people. I don't know. Maybe we should throw accusations back. Maybe Tim Brown and Jerry Rice screwed the game. I don't know.
It's good. It's fine and all, you know, to give credit to Gruden for knowing what they were going to do on offense. But let's not discount the players the Bucs had. You start up front with Rice and Sapp and Darby and Spires, and you get to the linebackers. You got Sheldon Qualls, Derek Brooks. You got Barber, Dwight Smith. Lance Jackson on the back end. I mean, it was, you know, it was like with their defensive backs for about 9 years, it was like what Miami was at running back in the early 2000s. It was just a revolving door. One DB leaves.
Yeah, to sneak that Miami in there, right?
No, but I'm comparing it. I'm comparing it to the.
I know what you're saying, man.
I'm not comparing it to, like, you know, Miami, but I'm just comparing it, you know, in terms of depth. You know,
I know what you're saying, man. I know what you're saying.
They had a game plan, but the Bucs had great players. Bucs probably have about 5 Hall of Famers on that defense.
So. Who? Sapp? Who? Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, and who? Lynch?
Right.
Rondé Barber?
Oh, bro, yeah. Of
and
course.
Who else?
Simeon Rice.
Hold up. Sapp's up for the Hall of Fame now, but something tells me he might not get in because, you know they like to give these people.
He might not get in on the first try, but he gets in.
Yeah, you know how it is because he wasn't really a light guy by the media, kind of. So you know how
they do. He's in the media now, too. So.
Exactly. You know how that is. Derrick Brooks is probably going to be. Is Derrick Brooks? He's a Hall of Famer. I'll give you that.
Of course.
Lynch.
Of course. Lynch is.
I had to think about Rondé, man.
Yeah.
I agree with Simeon Rice. I think Simeon Rice is, too.
But I don't think Simeon Rice is going to get in the first time. I don't think Simeon Rice is going to get in. I think Simeon Rice is a Hall of Famer, too.
They get $16, right?
I'm just talking about who's a Hall of Famer. That's Rice, for sure. To me, that's Rice, Barber, Sapp and Derrick Brooks. Maybe, you know, the Hall of Fame is not really, don't have a hard on for safety. So.
Yeah. No, I think Simeon Rice is going to be, as a Hall of Famer, me, but I don't think he's going to get in the first 2-3 times. I just don't think he will.
A lot of players do.
Rice got 130 sacks, man. Ought to get in first ballot, but, you know.
Jimmy Smith is not in the Hall of Fame either, so I should tell you right there. So I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't know about Jimmy Rice, right, man. I mean, he had a couple of good seasons, but you know, I mean, I don't know. He'd be a borderline kind of guy to me. I mean,
he's not a Hall of Famer. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Like Mike, they said, the man had 137 sacks, so the numbers don't lie right there. So, I mean,
Kevin Green had 150 some sacks, and he's playing in the Hall of Fame. So.
Yeah, but he's a runner-up, though. He's a finalist, though. I don't think he's going to get in this year. But I think Charles Haley has a better chance of getting in this year over Kevin Green, though.
I don't think Kevin Green's a Hall of Famer. Well, hold on. Let me
He's been on the ballot the past 2 years.
Hey, Matt, let me put you on hold. Let me put Steve on here. And I know you got something interesting to say.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on that Super Bowl thing with Tim Brown. I mean, what it really boils down to, I don't know if y'all watched the Mike Groot special. They broke it down on how he actually, it wasn't more just knew the play they were going to run. It was more, he knew Rich Gannon's tendencies. He knew what he did when he moved his left foot, or when he did this or did that, or looked a certain way. So the defense was keen to that. And he knew what the defense was going to run, too. It wasn't just the offense. So, I mean, yeah. They could say what they want. They could have changed up the game plan or whatever, but he still knew the player's tendencies. And when you know somebody's tendencies, there's nothing you really can do.
True. Huh? Well, what do you think about that Hall of Fame, what we just talked about? Do you think Simeon Rice is a Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
If you don't know, then that's a no. That's a no. I'll go by the Skip Bayless rule. If you have to think about it, then they ain't a Hall of Famer, basically.
But what about Mike? You said
Kevin Green ain't going to make the Hall of Fame.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I don't think Kevin Green's a Hall of Famer.
And Mike, you said Kevin Green is better than Simeon Rice?
I mean, he's the number 3 career sack leader of all time.
Kevin Green?
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all remember,
I mean, I keep telling people that, like, that's all he used to do was get sacks for a long time. And if you have 100, you got Reggie White and you got Bruce Smith who have more sacks than him, and that's it. For a while, I think he might have even been like number two or number one for a while before Bruce, you know, retired. Or, you know, he retired. You know, you got Kevin Smith been retired since 1999.
Mike, how many?
And he's been on a Kevin Green's been on the ballot for. Kevin Green's been on the ballot for a while, right?
I can say he's a finalist right now, but I guess I don't think he's going to get in this year. I think Charles Haley got a better shot, but he might get in next year.
Yeah, Charles Haley's a Hall of Famer. I take Simeon Rice as a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't even.
Rice was probably one of the more underrated defensive ends of all time. You never heard about him because he played in Arizona.
Right, right. But no, you never heard about him, but he was still making Pro Bowls and stuff when he was in Arizona. You know what I mean? So,
I mean,
but anyway.
I don't think he was that good when he was in Arizona. He might have been all right, but.
He was a part of that defense in 98, though, when they lost the Minnesota, though. They made the playoffs.
Yeah, he was a pretty productive player in Arizona.
I was in Arizona.
He was just on the wrong team. Let's say if he had got drafted by the Bucks with, let's say, with Warren Sapp and Brooks and Melvin, hey.
All right, hold on. And one point I want to say, too, that Donovan McNabb, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes. No. I think he is.
No.
Of course, he might not be a first ballot because he didn't win the Super Bowl, but hey, like what he did to that franchise, he carried it for many years. I mean, also, the franchise didn't give him the weapons he had. Let's say he had Peyton Manning type, you know, weapons, rather than Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and all that. Man.
Yeah, I mean, he has.
He never had that.
If you look at his numbers, it's pretty good. If you look at his numbers throughout his career, he has over 40,000 yards passing.
Let's look at this. Look at what he did in that Super Bowl. Everybody saw that game. I mean, have you ever seen a quarterback freeze like that? And have, I mean, did you see the look on his face when he was on the sideline?
Okay, then is Jim Kelly a Hall of Famer? Because I don't think Jim Kelly was a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's just me. But, I mean, a lot of people do. I mean, if you can put Jim Kelly in the Hall of Fame.
Jim Kelly was overshadowed by Joe Montana a lot of years, you know.
Yeah, I would say he's overshadowed by Dan Marino.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought Dan Marino was better than Jim Kelly during his years. I mean, I think Jim Kelly was good, but I kind of compare him and Donovan McNabb in the same boat, my personal opinion. That's just me. But
I think they did it wrong. I don't think Steve Young should have been a first ballot. I don't think Steve Young should have gotten the Hall of Fame the same time as Dan Marino. I mean, Steve Young, he's a heck of a quarterback, but he's not in the same class as Dan Marino. He got his first year with Dan Marino.
Yeah, he's not. You think Steve Young is better than Dan Marino?
No,
Steve Young is an NFL. Hold on. Steve Young is an NFL MVP and a Super Bowl champion.
All right, maybe that might put – I don't think he was – I still don't think he was better than Dan Marino because I just think that he had a better team.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl in 95, but that was like the end. Then he was playing for like 4 more years later, then, of course, he retired. So it was like almost to the end because he was in the league for a while, but then, too, you know, he was Joe Montana's backup.
I mean, and he won the Super Bowl with arguably one of the greatest teams ever. I mean, that 94-49 team was stacked. I mean, it was stacked, yo.
It was.
I mean, I don't want to minimize that. He's a Hall of Famer. Steve Young's a Hall of Famer, but I just don't think he was, like, better than Dan Marino.
The same year as Dan Marino. I was saying that kind of guy was like,
You guys are forgetting, like I said, you guys acting like Dan Marino is playing with scrubs. He played with Mark Duper and Mark Clayton, man.
He made Mark Duper and Clayton.
So the same could be said about Joe Montana and Jerry Rice then, right? Or any wide receiver that had great quarterback.
Well, it's different. No, it's different because, it's a scheme. Like, Dan Marino is kind of like going down the field, intermediate, mid-passes, whereas kind of the West Coast is sort of like these short passes, you know, and then the run, the receiver can make plays, maybe break a few or something like that. So it's kind of different.
Yeah, so
I think
you're going to be more likely to get more receptions and more yards in the West Coast offense.
But Mike Dowling, I mean, that was pretty much had scrubs, though. He didn't have nobody. What receiver he's going to have that's going to go into the Hall of Fame?
T.O., that's it. T.O.
Yeah, for a half or a year and a half. I mean, really, just a year.
Okay.
And
like
a
I said, did you see that Super Bowl?
Yeah, all right. I want to change the subject here. I kind of want to change the subject because we were kind of going on a digress right here. I'm going to put you on hold here. I got to put DT on. Let me put DT on here and see what he gets in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, as far as throwing the Super Bowl, I just don't know what can possess anybody to throw a Super Bowl. I'm not with it. I don't believe it. I guess the biggest issue I'm having is I'm not willing to give John Gruden that much credit. You know, I know Tony Dungy isn't bitter, but I still am. So that's Tony Dungy's team. I don't care what anybody says. And I think Tony Dungy should have stayed another year. He probably would have won a Super Bowl with that team.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just my I'm so bitter about it.
Breaking news. I didn't mean to cut you off, DC. They said the Jets are exploring a trade at Darrell Revis.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get into that later on the show.
I'm just still that bitter. And, again, like this year, you look at the 15 jobs between general managers and head coaches, and none of them went to a black person this year. So, again, I'm still a little bitter. So, as far as those guys going to the Hall of Fame, I think all of them are going to go to the Hall of Fame. I really do. Not first ballot or anything, but I think all of them are
Hall
going
of Fame
to
is Hall of Fame.
Eventually, all of them will go. I think they all deserve it.
Even McNabb? You think McNabb will go in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I was talking primarily about the Tampa guys. I think that defense made Tampa. Okay. Tony Dungy and that defense just made Tampa whatever it was. And, you know, Donovan, I think Donovan will make it, sure. I think the only time people started questioning Donovan was when Rush Limbaugh made some crazy comment on ESPN. That's when everybody started questioning Donovan. But I think he'll get there. I agree with you, to be honest. I started questioning
Donovan after that Super Bowl game, man. I've never seen a quarterback with a look on his face like that in a Super Bowl game.
If you put Jim Kelly in, you put Donovan McNabb in. So that's what I agree with.
I understand that. That's what I'm saying. He went to four Super Bowls and lost all of them. He lost all of them.
But Joe Kelly had a better casting with it. I don't think that had an offense, though.
Oh, yeah.
Andre Reed. Jim Kelly
had a better cast. I agree.
I mean, that was
and he lost all
Andre
four
Reed
of those Super Bowls.
I mean, hey, they should have won. They should have beat the Giants, though. I mean, I thought we played that game. I thought, too, they kind of did some kind of black bad clock management on that last drive. If they would have called a timeout or something, got a little bit more yards, and I mean, a favorable, maybe they quite could have scored a touchdown. Probably could have got a better field goal range. So, United Giants out there were had some luck because I still remember that Robbie Craig fumble, and then the
Otis Anderson's a Hall of Famer too. Speaking of that Super Bowl
time too, I mean, I think that it's a different time.
Otis Anderson.
If Donovan wasn't making that much money, maybe you would have got a better cash.
Hey, you look at his numbers. He had pretty good NFL statistics.
Before he went to New York,
he was pretty good. He played in St. Louis.
Let me ask you guys this question about Donovan McNabb. When you say cast, what are we talking? I mean, no team right now is ever going to have a – there's not that many super teams anymore. Philadelphia's defense was excellent. You look at the guys they had, Troy Vincent, they had Jeremiah Trotter, they had guys on defense to win a Super Bowl.
Their offense that year, though, was the strength, though. Their defense was still okay, but their offense that year was their strength, having T.O.
I think
so
Mike
why,
has a
I
point.
Mean, why is it you can get a Peyton Manning and put him on a team that don't have a good offense and he makes the offense good, but
Donovan McNabb, we're not saying he's on the same category as Peyton Manning. That's a different story. But I'm talking about in terms of leading the team to the playoffs year after year after year, being a face of a franchise. I mean, my thing is, I think, and you look at his numbers. I mean, he's Hall of Famer. I mean, if you're gonna put Jim Kelly in Hall of Fame, I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, but first ballot? Are you kidding me? And you're not gonna put Donovan McNabb? I'm not saying Donovan McNabb is the first ballot, but I mean, if you're gonna put, like I said, my theory is if you're gonna put Jim Kelly in there, you're gonna have to put Donovan McNabb in there, because I kind of put them on the same level.
Jim Kelly been to four Super Bowls. Jim Kelly played with a Hall of Fame running back who was running the ball most of the damn time. Anyway, I mean, like I said, he was overshadowed by Joe Montana and these other quarterbacks, you know, Dan Marino and these other quarterbacks at that time. Donovan McNabb had ample chances to step up and step his game up to another level, and he never did it.
He took his team to four straight NFC Championship games. He was in the NFC Championship game every year, playoffs almost every year.
Okay, Michael Vick can say something around the same thing, too. What does that mean?
Michael, hold on. No, he wasn't. Michael Vick was not in the playoffs every – whatever, whatever. All right, I don't even want to –
I'll say this.
When he was in Atlanta, no, he was not. He was not in the playoffs every year.
I was going to say this to a point where DT was saying about John Gruden. And the way, I mean, like we was having this talk a while ago, and the way I kind of think John Gruden, you know, to me, I don't think he's ever going to coach again, looking at all the openings they have. But I think as a coach, he's kind of maybe slightly overrated, because he really, what did he do with Tampa? I mean, he was there, yeah, they won the Super Bowl. After that, Tampa was kind of really kind of going downhill, and they ran him out. You know, he was making the money, and they fired him. Now, if John Gruden wants to ever come back coaching, you're going to, of course, want to pay top dollar, paying him $8, $9 million. This black guy ran out of Tampa Bay. So I'm thinking to myself, man, if he was going to have a coach back again, he going to, I think, just get a fair deal, you know, get, you know, a nice amount, but not overpay for the guy, because he didn't really do nothing special in Tampa. That's all I got to say about the John Gruden thing, though. And some might say he might be a Hall of Fame. Some people might say he might be a Hall of Fame coach. I mean,
who, John Gruden?
No,
some people probably say that, but I don't think he's Hall of Fame. But I think, to me, if he to be considered to be a Hall of Fame coach, I think he would have to come back, coach a team, and deal them up whatever they do, and maybe win a couple more Super Bowls or something.
All right, and I'm
John Gruden thing.
I'm gonna keep you online here, DC, and I want to transition the next conversation. Before we get to the next call, we're gonna get into that Rudy Rule conversation. Oh man, we spent a lot of time, but what's your take on the Rooney Rule? Like you had said, you know, eight openings, no African American coaches. Do you think there should be something done to the Rooney Rule, or do you think it should just get rid of it altogether? I'm gonna start with you though, Kelly. Mike, what's your take on that? What's your answer to this?
And who's going to do something about it?
I mean, the owners, I don't know, the public pressure. I mean, I don't know, the Black Coaches Association.
Let me tell you who the captain should be doing something about it. The 75% of Black players on that football field are the ones that need to do something about it, just like they need to do something about it in college, just like they need to do something about it in every other sport, but they're not going to do it. So, I mean, to me, it's a moot point. If they don't care about it, I don't care about it.
You mean like
I'm not gonna sit there. If you, those are grown men out there, if they need to take control of their sport and say, okay, we want Black coaches to come out and coach us. If they don't want that, I'm not gonna sit here and worry about it. They make
millions of
dollars to do that. I don't.
So you're just saying the players could do something. They just be like, don't play if you're not gonna hire more Black coaches, or you're not gonna give more Black coaches an opportunity.
It'll be very simple. It'll be very simple. Players say who they want to be their coach all the time. But nobody's putting the responsibility on these players at all.
I disagree. I don't think. Well, I don't know. In the NBA, players can do that, but like usually a quarterback who's most likely white will be like, I don't want this coach here, and then the owner will or the GM will take sort of credence to it. I've never seen a Black player say, I don't want this coach here in the NFL. That is. and the coach ended up getting fired. Can you think of a situation? I can't think of a situation.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Think about it. What happened? When's the last time you ever seen a black player say, I don't want this coach here, period?
Yeah, I can't think of it. All right,
exactly.
What's your take?
The league is black.
All right, Tex, what's your take on this?
Well, first, I think the Rooney Rule is a sham anyway. I mean, I don't think it can ever be fixed. It's all about what your moral fiber is, and there's an issue with that. If these owners can look and understand that black men can coach just as well as white men, and a guy I know the other day, he said, well, the coaching job ought to go to the best coach with the strongest character. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of white men with strong character and can coach better than, you know, everybody else. But, I was saying it funny, but in a way I was serious. I'm like, I mean, how are you going to say that? I mean, but it's, you know, there's an issue with the moral side of it. The way things are, the way they've always have been, and, you know, inability to change. I mean, you keep putting this Rooney Rule in, all the black coaches got to wait for an opportunity. How long do you have to wait for change? I mean, it's a shame. I mean, the league in the executive office at executive positions. Head coach coordinators, I think it's sitting around 6-7%. Somebody told me the league was about 90% full of black players. I thought it was more like about 75-80%, but I mean there's an issue there. I mean there's a moral issue there that a Rooney Rule is not going to fix. It's a token rule to me. I mean you got to tell these white men that they have to interview a candidate. Oh, here's the secret. Black men can coach like it's a secret or something. Like, you know. I don't know.
All right. Shatown, what's your take on this for ASDT?
Yeah, I know Tex knew about that thing when he was talking about that. But I was going to say, I don't know if you all know, I had posted last week. It was some teams that was interested in Kevin Sutherland, but Texas A&M, you know, gave him an extension. You know, I guess never transpired from the, you know, I guess the interview for it. So he's staying at Texas A&M for another year. But, of course, his name is going to ring again because they said some teams is hot on his tail. But also I was going to say, it's kind of like you're going to hire who you want to hire. And obviously the openings that came up, the team pretty much had who they wanted. They did interview that, you know, for the minority thing for the Rooney Rule, but I guess there was nobody really that was hot and they wanted to hire. Like, the offensive coordinator, like, you know, I guess most of the black coaches we see right now that's in the NFL that was up, that y'all was looking to be a head coach with defensive coordinators, and we all know everybody right now wants to hire, you know, the offensive coordinator, you know, offensive mind coach. Exception with the Jacksonville Jaguars, with them hiring Gus Bradley. And the way, though, they went that route, what about, Carville, what about your defensive coordinator with the New York Giants, Perry Fuel? Now, I think he should have been, just thought about it, you know, why you didn't see that many black head coaches, you know, get a chance to be a head coach this year in the NFL. What about Perry Fuel? I mean, I think he should have been interviewing candidate. I thought maybe my Bears might look at him as one of the guys because he has ties with our organization with Lovie Smith. But I thought maybe he should have maybe been the guy looked at in Jacksonville if they wanted to go defense over Gus Bradley because he's been a heck of a defensive coordinator. I think his time is up and ready to be a head coach. And I'm really surprised that his name wasn't even mentioned as being an interviewing candidate for a head coaching job. So really, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, like Mike was saying, I'm just accepting the way they come out maybe doing more, but what else more can you do? They're going to hire what they want to hire. And that's why I say to me, if you're not going to really be considered to be a finalist for a head coaching job, just doing it because of a rule, then really, why waste your time? Why waste my time?
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Sorry. All right, sorry about that. Well, DT, what's your take on this?
My take is I think that they have to do whatever they can to get black head coaches in the NFL. I mean, it's just – it's ridiculous. I mean, you can look at the games, you look at who's on the field, and then look at the head coaches. And that just doesn't make any sense. I tend to, you know, I understand what Mike is saying about the players need to care. Absolutely, the players need to care. But it's just ridiculous. You know, I think we're past this stuff, you hope, but evidently it's still a big problem. I mean, it's not even just the NFL, it's everywhere. I mean, you're talking about Charlie Strong. It took him 27 years to get a head coach job. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. One of the best coaches, I think, around took him 27 years. It's just uncalled for. I think you have to do whatever it takes to make some type of even playing ground because, obviously, there's black people who are qualified to do these jobs. And if they're not qualified to do these jobs, then, yeah, I mean, Mike, I think Mike is kind of right there. They need to start doing something about that. They evidently can't play an NFL season without you. So, I mean, I'm not going to be all militant and say strike or anything like that, but something needs to happen.
Well, I think, like I said, I mean, I think you see it all the time in college. You know, players go to where the coaches are. You know, it's like, you know, when we had Brinson Buckner on a couple of weeks ago, I asked him. I said, "Do you think, you know, if we thought that Marcus Lattimore should get involved with the situation in Carolina, you know, since he's going to the university, and they still fly the Confederate flag over his head when he comes out the field?" You know, he said, "You know, sometimes you have things to take care of. You know, when you're an athlete, and it's like I understand that, but I think there is some responsibility that's due to every man." You know, and I think, like I said, I think, you know, Stan, you know, if you're equal enough to you should be equal enough to coach, you know.
All right. Let me see what some other callers here have to say. I got a lot of people online here.
I was going to add. I had noticed, I don't know if you knew about that, but they were saying with Mike Tomlin, you know, they had to go for the Pittsburgh Steelers job. He wasn't even the top choice. The Steelers was really hot on Ron Rivera, you know, but the reason why he didn't get a chance because he was in the Super Bowl and they didn't want to wait. So I guess Mike Tomlin came in, he blew them out of their mind with it. So he ended up getting it. Cause, I mean, I didn't even know that he was not their top choice because they really was hot on Rivera.
I've already heard Cat saying Tomlin is on a hot seat.
Yeah, I heard that.
Hold on, let me say Tomlin should be fired. It's like,
yeah,
that's ridiculous.
They say Steelers fans. I had posted that on Facebook not too long ago. I was saying that the Steelers Nation, and I don't know about ownership, but the fans, they waited to see him go. I'm like, what?
That's ridiculous. How long did they deal with Chuck Noll?
They want to deal with Bill Cowher, this AKA overrated Brett. And some people say he's a Hall of Fame head coach, and he's not. I mean, I say he's much better than Coach Cowher.
Lost a ton of big games at home. Cowher,
that's true. He did lose a ton of big games. I give you that.
And he had some wreck in that and go to that Super Bowl, that Colts game. Bill Roethlisberger saved that fumble when Jerome Bettis fumbled that ball. And he hadn't made that tackle. Colts was going to the Super Bowl, baby.
All right, hold on. Hey, DT, I got to put you on hold. I got a lot of callers here. Let me put Matt here on. What's your take on this, Matt? I got you next, Steve.
I'm sorry. I just came back on the line. What are we on right now?
We're talking about the Rooney Rule.
Oh, the Rooney Rule?
Yeah.
I think it's retarded. I think it's stupid. I think it shouldn't even be in football. There's no use for it. If you have a qualified pool of candidates and they have a resume and they have references that get them an interview
then they should get the job. It's a business. At the end of the day, they care about making money and winning championships. It doesn't matter the skin color of the coach. The only color in the NFL matters is green. And whoever gets in the green and gets the gold on the wall, you know, the trophy, that's what matters. I think the Rooney Rule is ridiculous, and it's a publicity stunt to get more people to pay attention to the topic, to divert them away from something else.
I just thought about this too. Since Jacksonville went defense, you know, my coach. The main reason why I think a lot of, you know, black head coaches were hired because they were going after, you know, the hot, you know, offensive coordinator, since the league's involvement of scoring, you know, with quarterbacks, they want offensive mind coach. But I just thought about this. The Jacksonville Jaguars went defense. Why they didn't, you know, look at Lovie Smith? Why they didn't hire Lovie Smith? I mean, Lovie Smith does have a winning record as a head coach. I mean, he's 18 games.
Matt. So you're saying you think the NFL was fine before the Rooney Rule?
I don't think today it's needed. Okay, let me ask you this. Why not Mel Tucker? Why not Ray Orton? Why not Kenneth Armstrong?
I know Mel Tucker has interviewed.
Well, we've
been interviewed with Jacksonville. How about we do this? Instead of talking about the rule that we have to force any team to have certain candidates, how about we make sure we have a qualified pool of candidates? How about right now, I want everybody to brainstorm, give me 15 candidates that you think should have got one of the 8 head coaching jobs. Lovie Smith's there, Tate Dungy out, he's not coming back, so there's one to start you off. You can go ahead and throw in Ray Orton, Mel Tucker, Kenneth Armstrong, so there's
it's
4.
Caldwell.
For you. So give me
Caldwell.
11 more.
Jim Caldwell.
There's 5.
Caldwell's making some noise with Flacco. You know, seeing what he's, you know, turned over since he's been offensive coordinator there.
Were all those men giving interviews?
Tucker did. I know Tucker interviewed with Jacksonville.
And did any of them get a job?
So you're telling me that this trend of hiring these coaches that are defensive coordinators, some would call them gurus, is it seems to be a trend. It doesn't have anything to do with race. It has to do with this is what's trending right now. Those are the coaches they're hiring because they just don't want to recycle the same head coaches. Tucker got the interview, but did Tucker get the job? No, maybe because somebody was better. They like someone else better. Maybe that's they were looking for that other guy. He had a certain tangible quality. I mean, I was talking with Clausell earlier in the week when he said, "Listen, if we're looking at two coaches, all things being equal, he's like, don't you think maybe the white coach gets a little nod over the black coach?" I said, first of all, we're not going to see anything, all things being equal in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
because everybody brings their own unique quality to the table. All things equal doesn't exist. We should might as well just have a whole lecture on unicorns if we're going to talk about that. So, and that's not going to happen. So let's look at who is the pool. What's the pool? Obviously, we know it's called a minority for a reason because there's less of them. So it doesn't mean that there's not quality there. But is that quality what these general managers are looking for? Because the Rooney Rule applies to front office positions. It's not just head coach. It also applies to general managers. Why aren't there more minority general managers?
I think that's a big question, too. But I look at even more than the qualified coaches, I look at the unqualified coaches that have been hired for positions that have never even been coached. I mean, look at Josh McDaniel. How did he get a head coach position at 35 years old? What qualified him to be a head coach besides him being somebody's friend and somebody's son?
You're talking about Josh McDaniel, sorry, Mark?
Yeah, Josh McDaniel's got an opportunity.
Yeah, because he was a hot mess.
Some of these guys you have to get a chance somewhere. I mean, what qualification did the Ryan brothers have besides being Buddy Ryan's son?
Well, I think
everybody, I like not just to plug my show, but listen to the last half hour of the show from the 10 o'clock hour on. And the remarks that Oliver Hoyt made in regards to the quality of coaches in the NFL. This is somebody that played in the NFL. I think it was kind of remarkable. He was pretty candid about it, and I appreciated it.
I was gonna kind of say this, though, with the Jacksonville, I kind of get what you're saying. It was a new ownership there, you know, new owner. He probably want to bring in, of course, a new GM because they had a guy, I guess, Smith, whatever his name is, he got fired. So I guess they just wanted to bring in something totally new. So that's the reason why probably, you know, Tucker, you know, probably ain't quite going to get it anyway with this interview report anyway. I guess he wanted a new slate. But I kind of get what you're saying, Matt. I kind of get what you're saying with the trend on that because, you know, right now everybody's looking for the hot next offensive mind coach, and that's why that was a trend. Well, why, to me, in my opinion, that's probably why that many black, that means that many black head coaches being hired because none of them were considered, you know, offensive mind coaches, and you're pretty much known as on the defense side of the ball.
It seems like the black candidate is never an offensive-minded coach or a defensive-minded coach or whatever everybody else is looking for. And the bottom line is an issue when you have 6% of minorities in the NFL in executive positions or coaching, and 85% of it are players. Okay? Now, that's a problem.
I like where you're going with.
Problem. Period.
Let me ask you this. Out of those 75% of African-American players in the league, how many of that 75% aspire to be a coach of any magnitude?
No, we don't.
And
We don't know that. Okay, Matt, we don't know. We don't know that. But why is there no change? Why can they carry the ball? Why can they run high, run fast, jump high, make spectacular catches, but can't have more GMs, can't have more coaches over time? I mean, don't feed us what you're trying to feed us. And I'm not trying to go at you like that. But you know, it's clear cut and dry, dude. I mean,
I understand what you're saying, and I agree there should be more.
Not inclusive for everybody, and everybody is not included into the club. Period.
And that might be the situation. But I'm saying if we're looking at it purely from a business standpoint, I cannot logically find any reason why, if the candidate is presented and he has the skill set and the tangibles that I'm looking for, why it would matter what his skin color is, what color glasses he wears, how tall he is, if he's in a wheelchair, or if he come in on a walk. It doesn't really matter because
that's the point, though. Most people, who's to say who is looking at it from a business point of view and who's not? I mean, like I said, whether people don't want to admit it or not, there are racist people in the world. I know that's not popular and people don't like that, but there are.
What are you saying about the racist people, Mike? I couldn't hear what you were saying.
All right.
I said, whether it's a business decision or not, there are racist people in the world. And, you know, people don't like to hear that. I know that's not popular because we got a black president now. But that's the way the world is, and that's the way it's always going to be. Somebody's always not going to like somebody else for some other reason, you know. And whether they come out and say it or not, it is what it is. You look at the percentages, it just doesn't add up. The only trend that's been going on with NFL coaches since they've been in NFL is that they've been predominantly white.
And also, I was going to add this. I agree with you on that, Mike. Also, I was going to add this, too. You know, I don't think it was kind of fair. But they said, had the Vikings not done well, you know, Leslie Frazier, he was a guy who was possibly going to be on the hot seat. Possibly could have got fired. They said the Vikings didn't make the playoffs or improve. And I think it's unfair. This is his second year. You know, as black head coaches, they don't get the same amount of chances, of time than maybe a white coach would, you know, coming in. Because I think that's crazy if he would have got fired on field heat. He's on his man's second year.
Let me ask you this. Did the Vikings make the playoffs because Leslie Frazier, or did they make it because of Adrian Peterson? Let's be straight up about it.
who got hurt? I have to say both. I mean, coach. I mean, this team. I mean, they expected to finish last in the division, and probably one of the teams that was going to be probably in the top five.
What does that mean, though, Matt? What team doesn't make the playoffs because they players? No, there are no bad football teams in the playoffs. Every team is going to make it to a certain level because of their level of player. There's no bad teams in the playoffs. So I mean, what does that mean?
All right, look, you got a response, Matt?
There's no bad teams in the NFL. They're the best of the best of the best.
Well, yeah, I got to move on here. There's an extra call here. Let me put you on hold here, and we're going to do one more topic, and then we're going to end the show. Let me get Steve here on so he can answer, get in the conversation. What's your take, Steve?
Well, pretty much, you know, it goes back to the common phrase. Yeah, it's a business. I hear everything everybody's saying, but you have to be in a position to notice. I mean, you got to be where you can be seen. I mean, what black coaches are even scared to speak out about what's going on that are in the position that they have because they're afraid of getting scrutinized? But they have to, I mean, Leslie Frazier, he was in the right place at the right time. Mike Singletary, even though he failed, he was in the right place at the right time. Jim Caldwell was in the right place at the right time. At the end of the day, if you're not overseeing quarterbacks, if you're not an offensive coordinator, if you don't develop friends in the business, you're not going to do anything in the NFL. I mean, Rob Chudzinski got hired by Nerd Turner. Then Nerd Turner just thank you. Hey, you ain't got no job. Come be my offensive coordinator at the Cleveland Browns. You know what I mean? It's just, if you don't make no friends, you're not going to do anything. I don't care about the Rooney Rule. I don't care about nothing. You got to network. You got to make friends. And you got to be in a position to notice. That's it.
But that's part of what's called a good old boy system. What if I don't want to be your friend? So that means you can't be a coach, right?
Say that again?
I said that's part of what's called a good old boy system. What if I don't want to be your friend? That means you can't be a coach, right?
Don't we have that system in anything we do, though? Anything we do, any company, if you develop friends and get a social network status, 9 times out of 10, you're going to move up no matter what the resume is. You made buddies.
What more powerful network is there in the NFL than the player?
But the players ain't going to say nothing. They just care about the check. That's it. That's all it is at the end of the day. They're not even loyal to the team. They're so worried about money. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you can't depend on players that are looking for a check every week.
I kind of agree with both what y'all saying, because, like, I know the players were shaking up, were kind of upset when, you know, the Bears, you know, fire Lovie Smith. You know, they had his back and stuff, but I kind of get what you're saying, too. It's all, I mean, you got a network, but, I mean, I don't know if it was true, if I read it right or wrong, not listening to it, but they were saying that he really was, you know, I guess in terms of networking, really wasn't the best out there, you know, networking with other people. I guess that was his personality, I think, on Lovie. If I'm hearing it right or wrong, I'm not sure, but they were talking about that, I think, around the time before it became official that he wasn't going to be longer the Bears head coach.
Okay. All right. Let me put you on hold here. I got James here. Let me put James on and give his opinion on the topic.
Hey, how's it going? I was just listening to the show here. Thing about the Rooney Rule is, I mean, I just see this just being there. I did like this statement that, I mean, if there should be something done about it, it should be done by the players. I mean, you see what they did in reference to, like, the whole negotiation about the contracts and the whole lockout thing. If they're going to have that type of power in reference to that, and they should do the same thing about, you know, including more black coaches in the National Football League.
I heard it's still kind of a rip between still with the union and NFL, because I know Smith and Goodell, I know they don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. So it's been kind of, you know, X's and V's, all this other type of mess with that. So I don't think it's, even though it's, you know, they was able to get it together, it's still some problems along with those two.
I mean, it's just going to have to be some.
That, but there's always going to be a problem between management and NFL. But, you know, like what he was saying, if the players can negotiate that, they could definitely negotiate to get some more black coaches. You know, I mean, I think, like I said, I think, you know, I think we're not putting enough, you know, I don't want to say pressure, but, you know, players, I mean, especially Dragons, you know, you look at figures, sports was one of the first things, you know, to really integrate itself to where you see black men on a stage being compared, being able to compete with, you know, with white men. You know, you see cats like Jackie Robinson and Jim Brown, and these cats nowadays are not of that breed. So they're not willing to go out there and stand on, you know, make a stand and say, no, we need things to be this way or else we're not going to put up with this.
Yeah, but at the same time, the racism is not as overt as it was back in the day. So it's kind of like, you know, you can't – I mean, you can clearly see, like you said, 75% of the league is black and only a certain – and a certain percentage of the coaches are white. But then, you know –
like I said, it's not from a certain percentage. We got, what, 3%, 3 black coaches right now?
No, what I'm saying is, like you're saying, you want a player to make a stand.
That is,
I understand what you're saying.
Though.
I understand where you're coming from. But, like, the racism is – I mean, I understand. Like, that's clearly not a good sign right there. But the racism is not as overt. So it's kind of tough for a player to be like, to make a stand on something.
Racism, though? Is it racism, racism? Oh, just because he's
of course, yeah.
I mean, they got to make a stand, man. We can't keep excusing their behavior.
I was going to say, too, times are being different now, too, because the players are making a whole lot more money. You know, now then, back then, too. So, you know, back then, of course, football, it was making some money, but not the money they're making now. And also, they had to go on after the season was over, they had to find, you know, work another job. So I think that's another reason.
I say, to me, that made what they were even doing back in the day even more spectacular. Because now these cats, once you make your $30 million, you could say, I'm not playing this game no more. But you had cats, you know, working, going, like you said, having off-season jobs and still trying to make a stand for what they believe in. I think it goes to, you know, to the society right now. You know, you don't have people willing to, you know, to make a stand anymore. And it's sad.
Yeah.
We don't got no black coaches. We don't got no black owners. No black GM. I mean, when does it stop?
We've got to have one. Matter of fact, before the Will Brothers, the Minnesota Vikings, it was going to be a brother that on that team, but then they did a background.
I mean, that dude could be a part owner. He could be an owner of the Vikings the way Jay-Z is the owner of the Nets.
Yeah.
Just because I invested a dollar into Microsoft doesn't mean I own it. I'm an investor. It doesn't mean I own it.
Because even I say that they said something to do about being in the Boy Scouts, like he was an Eagle Scout or something. They found out he lied or something about that. And that's how he wasn't able to get the position of being an owner.
Right.
But I agree with you, Mike. He should be a popular part owner.
Okay, let me change to the final topic, and then we're going to get everybody to chime in on this. And next week we will definitely focus strictly on the Super Bowl matchup. We want to talk about Wes Welker's wife made a statement about Ray Lewis after the Ravens beat the Patriots, saying that, you know, talking about how he's just trying to drag his name in the mud, talking about how he has, I think, 6 kids with 4 different women and a double murder or something like that. Do you think that she was very out of bounds for saying that? I mean, do you think there was something behind that, something deeper behind why she did that? I'm gonna start with you, Tex. What's your take on this?
Trophy wife, stereotypical trophy wife, running her mouth. She might be a little bit bitter. You know, Wes Welker misses out on a Super Bowl game to show why he needs to get that guaranteed money from the Patriots because, you know, him and the Patriots got a little money situation coming up. He wants a new deal, unwilling to give it to him. So, you know, trophy wife ain't getting her guaranteed money. She's going to spot out when she see Ray Lewis flash across the screen. See what I'm saying? She ain't going to watch her mouth because ain't nobody making her watch her mouth. You know, talking about the man. I mean, seriously, didn't have anything to do with football. Talking about his kids. I mean, you know, if you're gonna be doing that kind of stuff, then go bake. You know, go cook some or do something. You know what I'm saying? Go be trophy wife, but don't say nothing if it's not about football.
All right, Shot time. What's your take on this?
She was way out of bounds and out of line and no class on that, like Tex was saying. If you're going to say something about that, I mean, it's not the first time she's been running her mouth. She was running her mouth after the Super Bowl last year. It's like, man. But this time, I mean, I heard about it, but of course I didn't read about it because it's not important. It's not about sports. And who is she? Yeah, she was Marcus's wife. Okay. But, man, you talking about the man's personal life, man? Like, come on, man. That's too far. And talking about the kids, what Ray Lewis kids do to you? I mean, you don't even know Ray Lewis kids. And that's one thing we all know out there in this world, in society. You don't talk about people's kids, man. You can talk about everything and this and that, but don't be talking about people's kids. I don't know if they had kids or not. You know, let's say they did. How about somewhere talk about your kids or something like that? It's like, man, it's just, they lost. I mean, it was a good game, and that was that, and just get over it. It was on Concord, even the same thing about the man. He ain't say nothing about you or Wes Walker or nothing. So, I mean, it is what it is with that. It's just showing that's kind of wild. I heard she apologized, but did she mean it? Who knows? But still, that was a lot to say.
Miss Hooters International. Keep your mouth shut and go shopping.
Mike, I mean, Callie, what you got to say about this?
A Hooters girl gone wild. This is a Hooters girl, nothing else. You know, once again, this is a case of somebody who obviously don't have control of their wife, and she's doing what I like to call girls gone wild the wrong way. Saying what she wants to say, doing what she wants to do, and nobody can stop her. You know, this is, like I say, when Marcus Vick said those comments about Mike Vick, everybody in the media was up in arms, and you know, and it's an outrage. Now, it's the second time you had a Patriots wife go out of pocket and say something crazy, because Bruchman did it last year, you know, and now this chick is doing it this year, and you know, and nobody's, you know, and they're not really making a big deal about it, you know. It's, you know, obviously, like I said, this man, you know, I don't know what goes on behind their bedroom door, but I can have a guess. You know, and I can guess that she's in charge. What is Rick saying? It didn't even make any sense. You know, it was poor sported. You know, it was poor spirited. You know, once again, people are overlooking, you know, some of the shortcuts of the Patriots. You had Belichick walking off without doing his post-game interview again. You know, like how he's done before, because he's mad because he lost because they didn't get the keys this year. And you know, these guys were mad. You know, they're mad that they get mad when they win, and they show a lot of poor sportsmanship, and nobody calls them out for it because they're the Patriots. You know, and it's like I said, this is just another example of it, getting them, you know, doing what they want to do. You know, and an apology is a joke. You apologize when you're a kid, or you know, maybe something like that. But you know, you knew what you were saying. You're not retarded. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. But she knew what she was saying. You know. You know, she went out of her way to be spiteful and try to be mean, and you know, and try to link a man to a murder, saying he got acquitted of murder, which he was never charged with murder. And even the people that were charged with murder were acquitted too, by the way. So you know, what point are you trying to make? You know, Tom Brady got a baby's mama. Nobody talks about her, and she's a famous actress. And he dumped her while she was pregnant to go marry Giselle, and nobody talked about that. You know, so I mean, like I said, you know, typical fast cover up, you know, typical media not wanting to jump on the Golden Boy and the Golden Boy team. It is what it is.
I was gonna say though, Mike, you saw what Shannon Sharpe called Belichick off on that. You saw that, right? When he didn't do the interview.
Huh?
You saw what Shannon Sharpe called off Bill Belichick when he didn't do the interview. He had put it on TV. You heard that, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, like I said, I mean, you know, he's done it before. He walked off the field with a minute left that one time that they lost, and nobody went crazy like Randy Moss did when he did it, you know. But when he did it, it was a cardinal sin. But this is the coach of the football team doing it, and you know, I mean, like I said, it's happened before.
He had an old player do the interview. He's like, come on, man, you're the head coach. He's like, I mean, I know that player is Matt McCourty that did the interview. I'm like, man, you know, he's mad. So like, dude, like Chance Sharp said, you're not gonna win all the time, man. It was like, it just shows you why people root against you when you do stuff like that.
All right. James, what's your take on this?
Well, me, basically, I mean, I just see that as case 8. You know what I mean? It's just like what happened last year. with you know, Giselle Bundchen talk about Wes Welker and his performance in last year's Super Bowl. I think it's the same case. To go personal is pretty much like over the line, especially when, you know, they had to think about Ray Lewis on the NFL Network like earlier in the season, that a football life type of story.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is like, what do you think? One of the main reasons why he said he was retiring this year was because he was going, you know, pretty much take care of his kids down in Florida. So I'm like, for that chick to say that was just pretty much jealousy and just basically hatred, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
Oh, and to add one more thing, I told you the boys would make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did say that, yep.
He did. You got that. Hey, we'll see. Who you got winning?
Oh, me? I got Baltimore winning, man. Who is it? Flacco's going to get the MVP. And instead of saying I'm going to Disney World, he's going to say, show me the money.
Yeah, because he had too. He's been having a contract dispute with the team. They said most of the season. So, yeah.
All right.
So what's your take on it, Quazelle?
I don't know yet. I'll make my pick next week, man.
Next
I don't know.
What's your take about the girl, about Wes Walker's wife?
I mean, I think she was out of line. I think there was something deeper behind it. I don't really want to say it, but, you know, it's like...
I mean, it's just so...
You know, I mean, what made her want to just come out and do that? I mean, I don't know. What made her feel like she just had the privilege to go out there and do that? It's just strange.
Hey,
I don't know.
Man,
I just...
What you think about it, man? What you think about it, though? Tell us.
I don't know. It's just something
it.
Strange about that whole situation, man. Why would, I just kind of find it strange that she would just feel like she needed to come out and say that about Ray Lewis. I just find that very, very strange. I don't know. Maybe they have a history or something. I don't know. Unless they have a history. If they don't have a history, I don't know. I don't know why she felt like she just needed to come out and say that. I have no clear-cut proof of it. I have an idea, but I just have no real clear-cut proof on it. But anyway, man, let me get to the next caller here. Let me get to the next caller here. All right, James, I'm going to catch you later, all right?
All right.
I mean, DT.
Yeah, man,
I mean, I
just, look, she didn't have to say all that, obviously, but look, when a wife loves somebody, man, and you can't control what she says, she may say anything. If she loves you that much, she may just say whatever else she wants to say, you know? I think she's wrong, yeah, but I think she brings to light a little bit of the truth here. It's like, I'm tired of Ray Lewis. Yes, he's retiring, but I'm tired of it too. You know, they always make these guys out to be great guys. That dude's not a great guy. Stop it. That needs to stop.
Well, I mean, I agree with that. Like I said, you know, like you said, I could have seen it maybe Ray Lewis even knocked off his head if he was going across the middle. But
yeah, I could. That's
the
only way to
see. Against somebody that had nothing to do with her. I mean, it had nothing to do with Ray Lewis, you know?
Well,
you know,
my point is,
like, I say, how come she's not talking about Tom Brady's baby mama?
I don't think it has anything to do. I think she's a hater, and I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, what happened in the game. I think it has everything to do with what people have been saying about Ray Lewis over the past weeks after he said he's going to retire, all these great things. And Wes Welker, probably her and Wes Welker had a conversation at home, and Wes Welker was hating on him, talking all this crazy stuff, and so she brought it out of her mouth on Facebook. Or she, you know, she types it up. That's just what happened.
Yeah, that sounds plausible.
I just think it's right that, hey, man, he's not a great guy. It's the same thing when, like, Tiger Woods was sleeping with all these women. It's like you shouldn't have made him out to be a great guy in the first place. You wouldn't have been so shocked. You know, he's not a great guy. Stop that.
Well, I mean, I think that's the media. Of course, you got to look at, you know, Ray Lewis is retiring. What people are supposed to say bad stuff about him when he retires, are they? I mean, it's not like every week you talk about how good of a guy Ray Lewis is. You know,
I agree.
We're talking about,
yeah,
I think even on the show, we're talking about how he
killed
Rob
when you're retiring. They're not. I'm just going to stick to my guns, and I'll think what I think. I don't have to post it on Facebook, but people lose maturity when they go on Facebook. You notice that. They just write whatever the hell they feel in the moment. And, I agree. They don't have to say anything bad when he's retiring, but I just like the fact that, hey, somebody put out there, wait a second, he's not that nice. Stop the madness.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me happy about it.
I mean, unless Wes Welker really has some issue with Ray Lewis, I just don't
he may.
I don't know. I know Tom Brady don't like the Ravens. You know, him trying to kick Ed Reed on purpose. But, you know, I just think that – I just don't understand why – what possessed her to want to do that? What made her have the privilege to feel like she could just do that? I'm just trying to just understand that concept.
Man, the whole team of 2012 and 2013 is hoes winning. This is a Hooters girl. They're winning now. And
yeah.
She thinks she can say what she wants.
If they won, she wouldn't have said anything about Ray Lewis. They lost, so she's mad.
Okay, I understand she's mad. They lost and she's mad, but why just pick out Ray Lewis? It's whatever. Maybe I'm
talking
easy,
though, great about him.
Everybody on the news all week, so yeah, you know. All right, whatever. Like you see, saying, everybody on Facebook kind of put too much stuff on things, and sometimes you just need to talk that between your peers and not put things on Facebook on everything.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let me get to the next call here. I'm going to talk to you later, DT, all right?
Well, let me just say last thing,
guys.
Last thing, and then I'll go to bed. It's still about the Rooney Rule. Again, I think you got to do whatever you can do to help somebody get even playing ground. It's the same thing with affirmative action. I like affirmative action. Why? Because I think it helps. I just think it helps, guys.
And speaking of affirmative action, too, like a lot of people think you're hiring somebody who's less qualified. I don't know where that stereotype sort of came in.
No,
yeah, it's like, I don't know, because
getting their foot in the door, that's it.
Yeah, it's like you have to hire somebody who has to be at a certain level. You can't go hire somebody who's not qualified.
I
don't know where that whole came from.
My thing
the Rooney Rule isn't even affirmative action because it's just, the Rooney Rule is just an interview, you know?
Right. Get them in the door. My thing is the new racism to me is this whole thought of racism doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
And that's bullcrap. We do not live in a perfect world, and that's why we need a little help. Okay?
Exactly.
Simple as that.
I think too many times when people come out and say that, they're viewed as being a bad guy or a troublemaker. And it's like, you know, to me, that's not the case. You know, like, I got, you know, my best friends are white dudes. I got numerous white friends. And I'll be the first one to tell them, hey, that was racist. We've been together and they see racist stuff after the beer. They're like, oh, man, that was racist. I'll be like, yep. You know, so, you can't live in denial.
Exactly.
I mean, the past two elections and all that stuff, you know, then of course you saw he didn't, you know, win the South. You know, it just shows you right there, you know.
All right. Okay. All right, DT. We're going to talk to you later. All right, man?
All right. See ya.
All right.
I'm putting Matt on here for the final call.
I think he's just fine. Tom Brady, $10,000 for that kick to Ed Reed.
All right, Matt, you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Let me pull this up here. This is the quote. She said, "Proud of my husband." That's how she starts out. And the Patriots. And then she wrote, "By the way, if anyone is bored, please read. Please go to Ray Lewis Wikipedia page. 6 kids, 4 wives. Acquitted for murder. Paid a family member off. Yeah. What a Hall of Famer. A true role model." Now, kind of listening to you guys and looking at what's gone on with Welker and his career lately, I'm looking at a very angry, bitter woman. This man that obviously she doesn't think that he's a half of quality-wise, we're talking about, person that an upstanding citizen her husband is. And she's angry because he's getting the hero's
red carpet out, rose petals and everything. And here her husband is, not knowing if he's going to get some bullshit contract, an extension. You know, essentially he's performed but still kind of looked in the league, maybe damaged goods, knee problems 2 years in a row. The last couple of years, especially in big games, he's had problems holding on to the ball or catching it. So I think it's more of outward frustration. And because Ray Lewis is retiring and he's having this miraculous end to his career, I think he's kind of pissed off, like, listen, I don't want to hear about your fucking limelight. Just retire and go the fuck away. I think that's kind of what she's frustrated about. And I don't think it's necessarily an attack on his kids or his family. It's solely him saying that, listen, he, like the other caller was saying, he's not that great of a guy.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Wes Welker, though?
She's just pissed off. It has nothing to do with Wes Welker.
I mean, if she's pissed off, how come she's not writing a tweet about Robert Kraft? She ain't that mad. She ain't that mad. She ain't crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And so what makes it?
That's a good point.
What made her want to go after Ray Lewis? That's what I'm trying to get.
Like I said, she's not that mad if you're not crazy. So obviously she knows what she's doing.
Ray Lewis. He just had to be there at that time. He just had to be the guy that's in the spot at that time.
But like I say, Robert Kraft is the one that's not giving her the new contract. So how come she's not mad at it? She, like I said, she's not that crazy. She knows, you know, I don't believe that all I'm out of control. She ain't that mad.
Like that. Women don't think through like that. She's probably sitting at home watching all the stuff on TV, gets on her Android or iPhone, and is like, you know what? About this guy. You know, that's what it was. I don't think it's so much that she's mad at Ray Lewis or has something against Ray Lewis. He just happened to be in that time, because we have to remember, women think and act on emotion. Emotion's a big key. What was she in the emotional moment? He just
I don't know about that, Matt. I can't go with you there, Matt.
How come she couldn't have done it like this? How come she couldn't have said, my husband, true warrior, Super Bowl champion, this many catches this year, but yet he can't even get a contract? Why is it that, you know?
No, I just felt like she felt privileged that she could say that about Ray Lewis. I felt like she felt privileged that she could say that about Ray Lewis.
I don't think it was privilege. I think she was mad. All this attention and news on Ray Lewis and husband is not going to the Super Bowl and all this other stuff, but then you got to attack Ray Lewis. I just say it was a lot of anger, but also I guess all the attention upon Ray Lewis. You know, he's not retiring. You know, we said all about after the game, and he probably just jets, you know, right at the very things that, you know, now to talk about Ray Lewis.
Like I said, I mean, she was mad, but, you know, it was just another flippant comment by a nitwit who nobody knows besides being Wes Welker's wife. He's a Hooters girl
exactly.
Who won by marrying Wes Welker. And she, like I said, who even knows what her first name is, you know, besides Wes Welker's wife? You know, she wanted
exactly.
to say some little comment, and she said it and caused the uproar, and it is what it is. And, you know, that's, you know, stupid people do stupid stuff like that. She's a Hooters girl. What more do you expect?
Exactly.
She's a Hooters. I see what you're saying, but I just didn't think it was. I think it was calculated. I think it was like, I don't know. I don't know. It's just something strange. Keep going, man. I kind of. You said you kind of disagree with me. You didn't feel like I felt, because I said I felt that she was privileged that she could say that about Ray Lewis.
I don't think. I think she probably did. There's probably some part of her that feels like, because she's Wes Welker's wife, that she's privileged. She has a sense of privilege to say whatever she wants. But most people do nowadays on Twitter and Facebook. Saying incredibly stupid and retarded things. I don't know. I just think he just happened to be. Let's put it this way: if it were, I don't know, pick anybody else that happened to be in the limelight at that time, and she was in that emotional state when she was sitting in front of the TV, sucking down her bonbons, being depressed about her husband's situation.
and ultimately her situation there, he just happened to get caught in the crossfire. It was the deer running across the road at the wrong time that got hit by the semi. That's essentially what it was. Ray Lewis didn't do anything.
It could be, but like I said, how come she's not getting that Tom Brady? How come she's not writing Tom? How come you're not supporting your wide receiver by saying he should get a new contract?
Because she's not going to get a Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a friend. She knows him.
What does it matter? It's her husband we're talking about. He's supposed to go
I know.
It's
not about her husband. You have to understand, it's not about that. It's not about Ray Lewis. It's about her emotional state at that time, and that's it. She said something completely stupid, retarded, and out of line, but it was based on how she felt at the time, and then she felt like, okay, I have a diminished situation. My husband's a better man and deserves a contract, and here's this guy with this background, and he's getting a hero, looking like a hero. And she's like, that's some bullshit. And that's what she put out there. It's like, I think this is a bunch of bullshit. And then she took it to the next level, and everybody was like, yo, whatever the fuck your name is, did you need to take it there? And that's why we're talking about it. But we'll forget about it in a week and probably never bring it up to the next quarterback or football player's wife goes off the handle and says something retarded.
All right.
I guess the next one's going to be, I don't
be.
Know.
What did you
it'll
really think about this? Well, you still haven't told us what you really thought about that situation. What do you really think about it? Probably
no, it's just strange.
I
don't have any proof. It's just strange, man, why she just came out and just picked on Ray Lewis. I just kind of felt, I just had the sense that, you know, I don't understand why she just felt like she had the right to just go out there and do it. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you said she's a Hooters girl. I'm pretty sure she has some speck of intelligence. I mean, you know, I just don't understand why she felt like she had the right to just go out there and say it. It's just me following me. I don't know what it was. She felt like she was entitled to just come out and say that about Ray Lewis. I mean, she didn't go out there with Joe Flacco. She didn't go out there Ed Reed. I mean, I don't understand what possessed her to do that, just to say that about
Ray Lewis. Everything was all about Ray because now Ray moves on to the Super Bowl and all this stuff. He doesn't have to retire now. He's going to the Super Bowl. He's going to be on top. So all this stuff is on Ray Lewis. That's why. And I guess when she was hearing Ray Lewis and this and that and being mad, which we all know she was mad, you know, he just went off.
But anyway,
this is the focal point, you know, right now. We know he's retired, so
was Flacco involved in any of that stuff?
No, Flacco wasn't involved. So,
Ed Reed?
No, Ed Reed wasn't involved.
Have they been on the news lately at all?
No, they haven't been on the news lately at all. No.
Okay, there we go. Thanks for supporting making my argument.
I mean, all the Ravens have been on the – Joe Flacco been on the news all the time talking about how good he's been in these playoffs and that he's restarted his career. I mean, like I said, I can't put it on she just lost her mind. Like I said, she knew what she – you know, like I said, she's not that crazy. You know, she hasn't said nothing about the Kraft. She hasn't said nothing about Tom Brady. She hasn't said nothing about the Patriots organization. So I really
exactly.
Want to burn that bridge. So she's
she felt
crazy.
Like she should say something. She felt like she had the privilege or the right to, or entitled to say
exactly.
Something about Ray Lewis. But it's whatever,
you know,
though, man.
He's an easy target. You know, if you go look on any a lot of internet message boards, a lot of people are agreeing with her, even though there's not really even a point to agree of because, I mean, who is really worshiping Ray Lewis like that anyway is an All-American, whatever, you know, whatever people's perception of a good guy is. But, I mean, you look at, oh, yeah, she's right. She's hot. She can play with you wherever she wants. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, go pick on the easiest target. That's fine. Like I said,
yeah.
I said that about Tom Brady, who has a baby, you know, who had a baby and left his baby mom while she was pregnant. Did the media completely ignore it? I'll say that about him.
I've heard stories that Tom Brady's a jerk, too. So I've heard stories behind the scenes that he's a jerk, too, behind the scenes. So I'm just saying.
I'd like to hear Anna's take on Catherine Webb dropping out of the Miss America pageant to go on a reality show with Ndamukong Suh. I'd like to hear her take on that.
All right, we can go one run through that. I feel sorry for AJ McCarron. That's all I got to say about that situation. I feel sorry for that dude, man, because she is not going to be with him for long term. I mean, I think she just used him to propel herself to get to where she needs, because AJ McCarron is not going to be no star in the NFL, and I'm an Alabama fan, and I even know that. So, I mean, that's all I got to say. I just feel sorry for AJ McCarron.
Honestly, her whole situation is typical media overexposure. I mean, she's a nice-looking girl. She didn't even win the Miss USA or whatever that pageant was. I don't think she finished, like, in the top five or whatever. She's nice-looking, but, I mean, come on, dude. Is she really all that? I mean, to where everybody should have been talking about her for 2 weeks? I mean, do we even know who won the Miss Teen USA or whatever it was? I mean, come on.
You
know,
they all look the same.
It's just like, you know, it's just like when they blew up, it's just like when the dude blew up Jen Sturger, and then she ended up getting in that scandal with, you know, with Brett Favre. I mean, I used to see that chick when she was on FSU campus. You know, regular girl running around half naked. Nobody was paying her no attention, but if you're on camera, all of a sudden she's a superstar.
Yeah, she was. You remember? Dang. She was the cowgirl. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Oh, she was the cowgirl at FSU. I sure do. But anyway.
Thank you.
But anyway.
I forgot about Jen Sturger.
Yeah. Okay. She was on a talk show here in Tampa talking about her fame or something like that. How she got, I don't know. She was on talk radio here in Tampa like 2 weeks ago. Talking about that Catherine Webb, talking about her journey to fame. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? But anyway, I don't even want to digress on that. But like I said, man, I mean, this should be a notice to these NFL players, these pro players. I mean, if you're dating a star, I mean, you better be on your star game. I mean, look at Chris Humphries. Yeah, look at Chris Humphries. I mean, he ain't on the same star power. He don't have the same star power as the Kim Kardashian. He was just used as a stepping stone. So,
yep.
I mean, if you ain't on your career. Yeah, so I mean, like
you know,
Mark Sanchez.
It made him a villain, you know? Fans did not want him back in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're a Kobe, I mean, like I said, I like what Kobe did. He's married to his woman. She ain't really got that star power as he does. She looks good, but she ain't got that star power like he does. But if you're a star trying to marry a star, you better make sure your star power, you better make sure you stay a star. Because if you don't stay a star, somebody else is going to get your star from you. That's how I look at it. So, you know.
If it's meant to be, too, at the same time it's meant to be. But I see where you all going at, though.
Yeah. But anyway, man, let's end the show here. It's 11:05. So thanks for coming out, listening to the show, CMT Firestorm. We will be here next week to talk more about the Super Bowl. Check us out on Facebook.com, blogtalkradio.com for the archive of the show. Have a good week. Peace out.
49ers will be Super Bowl champion.
We'll see. It's going to be a great one.
Out with the Rooney Rule.